Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines. Stay tuned.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hines.
I'm Crystal Jones Vaughn of The Sways Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Carry Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carafe Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
Cosmetic. All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. It's Wednesday morning, September 29th of 2021. Let me say that again. We're live today. It's Wednesday morning, September 29th, 2021. It's our show number 616, show number 616, as we march towards show 650 and then on to 700. Well, listen, today we have a really exciting show for everybody. We really do. I'm kind of bringing back some of my favorite interviews. Also, we're going to get on my Faith 5 and some of the other things that we've done in the past. But this kickoff interview, I call it, first thing this morning, I kind of wanted to get on the incomparable Wayne Smith. Now, this is 2021. We are kind of closing out the end of this year. But Wayne was on last year this time, and I thought it would be a great idea to kind of take a look, or should I say a listen back, at some of the wonderful things that he had to say when we were on the air. Now, I want to make sure that you get this. This will be last year's live broadcast of Wayne Smith, who was the former mayor of Irvington, New Jersey. He was mayor for like 12 years. Wayne is always on our show. We'll have him back again live soon in 2021 or moving into 2022. Got a lot of big announcements for you. Have some live talk coming up mid-show, as well as some surprises along the way. We want you to stay tuned. And just remember that we are airing some of our recent guests. I also want to bring not just Wayne Smith, but I want to dig back all the way to 2015. We had a guest, Jatea Wiley, who is a very educated young beauty star who has done amazing things. So I want to get her on. I want to get on Lisa Bloom, who was just on the other day, as well as some of the wonderful things that other folks are doing and just so many amazing guests. So I want to come on personally, tell you early, stay tuned. We've got an amazing Hair Radio Morning Show. Again, it's Wednesday, the 29th of September. I want to thank our amazing legacy sponsors, folks like Smooth Black, who may be with us a little later, Smooth Black of Smooth Black Inc. You guys know Troy Ballard. Also, Rugged Evolution Beard Care. Their website is ruggedevo.com. Stimulating Roots. That's stimulatingroots.com. And they spell Roots, R-U-T-Z. Also, the one and only Dr. Yolanda Raglan, her company, fixyourfeet.com, has been a great legacy sponsor for us, and we're so thrilled. Now, Dr. Raglan is going to join us live on the air on Tuesday's broadcast. So that's Tuesday, October 5th of 2021. She'll be with us at about 8 o'clock in the morning. We've got her for about a half hour, and then on to Vet Talk Radio. So we've got a lot of wonderful things coming up. We'll talk about some of our monthly supporters and advertisers and new companies, things that you should know about coming up shortly. But right now, we're throwing it back all the way back to about a little over 100 shows ago. That's a lot. About 100 shows ago. So about a year ago, we had the incomparable Wayne Smith on, who is a political and business dynamo, who is going to, now, this is a throwback to October of 2020, so I can't wait to hear what we were talking about that was of news interest to you guys at that time. So stay with us. Coming up, as I said, we've got a big show for you with lots of other guests, lots of live talk, and so much more. So I'm just going to roll into it. So just stay with us, folks. It's Friday morning, October 30th. of 2020. It's our show number 509, and I am bringing to the line a very, very special guest. He's been with us many, 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 many times, and he's from the world of politics and business and entrepreneurship and all that wonderful good stuff, and financing too, and just money talk and everything that's happening out in the world. It's my great honor to welcome back to the Hair Radio Morning Show, the one and only. We're talking about Wayne Smith. Good morning,
hey.
Wayne Smith.
Good morning, Kelly. Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. And delighted to have the opportunity to talk with you and your listening audience, and wishing everyone safe keeping as we all struggle to stay away from COVID-19.
Yes, indeed. You can say that again. But it looks like, well, let me ask you, okay, and this is a former mayor of Irvington, New Jersey for 12 years. You guys heard me right before we came on with Wayne. I just have to say, is it true then? Are we rounding the curve as the current administration keeps uttering? Let's jump right on in.
So if we believe in math and science, the math says that we're getting a second wave of this stuff, and everybody is doing extra measures in New Jersey, particularly in my neighboring city, Newark. Mayor Baraka has taken on some strong measures. The governor is warning us that we may be seeing the second wave. So optimism is one thing, but reality hits you in the face. And the numbers are creeping up. I was listening to news reports this morning, and we're, 200 plus thousand people, dying from this coronavirus. So we're not turning the curve in the positive way, but in the negative way. And so everybody, as we approach many is the holiday season, Thanksgiving and others, they're encouraging people just to do their immediate families and not have the guests. And I know that's a strain and a struggle for all of us, as during this season, many of us get an opportunity to see loved ones who may be in other states and other places, or even in the same city where we just don't visit, but we take the time to do that during this season. We can't do it the way we used to do it because it puts all of us at risk.
I agree. It definitely, for our listeners out there and you guys, this is really, it is, as Wayne Smith says, it's going to be a tough Thanksgiving, where you really can't. I mean, who's heard of a virtual turkey? Just not the same kind of thing,
absolutely.
Right? I'm trying to figure how this is going to play out because when you hear, even to hear the talk about rounding the curve, I don't even know how that could be uttered in at this time where so many folks have just perished. And then it's this whole thing about just letting it spread. And then I've even heard the administration say that it's, it is what it is, just all kinds of things. And just, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but it seems like, I don't know. What do you say, Wayne?
I think they've kind of given up of trying to do anything and encourage people to take their own precautions and encouraging whatever levels of government to do what they can. Obviously everybody's concerned about how they're going to survive economically. I mean, that's just a present day reality, but you can't survive if you're not here. And so economically, safety is always first. And then you look at what your economy brings you, but they're in a fog on this issue. They just will not face the reality that maybe setting some examples by hunkering down. And even the campaign, to his credit, they criticized Joe Biden about being in the basement. He was doing the campaign the way he could do it safely. And, we're living in almost a virtual world now where people are in many ways to communicate, email. Obviously, they're probably going to spend, I saw the numbers the other day, the billions of dollars in this campaign election cycle is billions of dollars they're spending. And you know, they're going to be on television. You're going to see the candidates on television from now. It's like 4 days left. You won't be able to turn on your TV. So there's tons of ways to communicate, whether it's email, whether it's Facebook, whether it's all the social media platforms. There's ways to get your message out. There's the telephone. So in the beauty business, they used to say years ago, now this is dating myself, and it's certainly not a gender bias, but they say, what did they say? Telephone and tell a woman, right?
Oh.
So,
yes,
and you
that
get your information out in the salons and stuff. So, you know, there's this whole challenge about, you know, a lot of people do campaigns going door to door, but you can't do it. Some people out there doing door to door. I read about a candidate in New York City who was doing door to door, but doing it in a safe manner. They would ring the bell. They wouldn't come directly up on the doorstep, and they would talk to you from, you know, whatever, 6 feet social distance, and they leave the literature. And if you were willing to talk from the 6 foot distance, people were doing that. So there, you know, there's ways to do things. These rallies are becoming super spreaders. And I just think that Trump is so hell-bent on, by any means necessary, winning the election, he'll put people's health at risk. But, you know, that's the question for many voters in the next 4 days. Those who are sitting on the fence, do you?
If you are just tuning in, you're listening to a classic interview that we had with the one and only Wayne Smith from October 2020. So it's about 100 shows ago, and about a year ago, almost the day that Wayne Smith, former mayor of Irvington, New Jersey, joined us live on the air. Today's Wednesday, September 29th of 2021. It's our show number 616. We're actually up to show number 616 today, as we literally broadcast live, but I've dug into the vaults. I'm Kerry Hines out of Brooklyn, New York, and I wanted to play this classic piece with Wayne Smith. So I'm going to turn it back up. Stay with us. We've got a big, big show to continue and to get to, so stay with us, folks. More to come. While they're on stage, and then they had the one with the president and Joe Biden, and then they had the vice president.
Debate.
Oh, the debate.
The first debate was a debacle. I mean, it was absolutely crazy. Trump was so rude that you know, I think he lost a tremendous amount of some of his people that were on the fence that were going to support him, but he was so unpresidential, interrupting every time Vice President Biden tried to say anything, that it was just horrendous. And so no one was able to even hear either one of them was saying, because it became a fracas. But the second debate was a little bit more sane, because somebody must have, he finally listened to a few people and said, you've got to do this in more tame fashion. Now, the other piece is that the debate format allowed for them to cut the mic off. So they had,
which they really needed. They should have. I really don't know how they did not realize that they should have always had that.
Well, you
it's
would think
it's the simplest solution.
Yeah, it was people think that folks are going to follow the norm. Donald Trump is not a norm follower. He's going to do whatever he thinks,
which tells you
case.
Everything you need to know about him.
Know about him, right?
So
they didn't anticipate someone acting, you know. Yeah, in every debate, there's some overcarriage of conversation on occasion. It gets heated or whatever, but not to the degree that Trump did. So they weren't prepared for the craziness. But they were prepared the second time. So it was a much more saner debate. I thought that, I don't think it changed many minds. I think the Biden people were buying. I think Biden got a few more undecided people because Trump really doesn't talk about what he's going to do in a second term. You know,
it's funny that you say that. Mm-hmm. You, of course, you've been in politics. You understand every single angle of it. But I think and I came away with the exact same feeling. I said, I hear a lot of attacks, but I've not heard one thing of a real plan, if at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, there's no meat. It's just like the emperor standing there. You got to give people something to chew on. At least it seems like the vice president, you know, candidate, Joe Biden, seems like he is at least trying to give some kind of a plan with regards to the economy and different things instead of just attack. Good grief. I mean, what do you say to that? I mean, my goodness.
I think that's just Donald's M.O. He is he doesn't have a plan. He never does. He wings it. And so his thing is to attack Joe Biden, try to discredit him, this, that, and the other. And it's not working. I think when you look at on the character issue and things like that, Biden wins in every facet. The only glimmer of positive possibility for those who believe in Trump is that they had some positive signs before the COVID-19 was on the economy.
You're referring to the economy.
So, so, but he can't. He's not a disciplined enough guy to pitch it. So that's dangerous for us when a guy is not disciplined enough to even do things that are to his own best interest. He can't look out for the interests of others. And so, you know, Donald is he's living in what I call a cult of personality. This is not a reality show where you can wing it and play to a particular crowd. So the problem is his own success. He wasn't expected by any professional view of how one gets elected president to win in 2016. But he won. And so now he thinks he knows how to do it.
And, let's just remind folks, Wayne, he did not win the popular vote.
He did not.
And that's very important for you guys to understand. He won in the electoral votes, which many had already been promised not to vote in the way that they did, and that's why we were kind of caught off guard.
Right. And so that's an important distinction to make because, you know, like Hillary, Joe is leading in the polling.
Exactly, right.
But I think his polling is a little stronger because Hillary had some high negatives with some populations, not with me, but some populations got some high negatives. Joe doesn't seem to have the high negative, and so it looks like his lead, and even in swing states, may hold. So places like Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan, particularly where your audience has a major influence, where people go into the salon, they're going to be people over the weekend, probably getting their hair done. And so, you know, we got to encourage them, however they vote, especially in those swing states like Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan, that they need to at least cast their ballot however they got to cast it. Some will be doing in-person voting. Some will be doing mail. You know, you were talking about are people afraid to mail in. Well, I'll tell you what I did. As soon as in New Jersey, everybody was presented mailed a ballot. And they changed the rules so that you had more. The whole elections were done by vote by mail, except for some rare exceptions. You can drop off your ballot at certain designated spots. But when I got it, you know, my family, we sat down and we did our ballots the day that they came in. And we mailed it out because we're concerned with making sure that they land on time. So I'm proud to report that in New Jersey, at least in Essex County, they mailed you a letter that said that they had received your vote. They can't count it, but they had received it, which was a good sign. You mailed it. They had a very well-crafted thing. You had to fill your ballots in, who you were voting for. There were some ballot questions. And each state is obviously running their election differently. So people should know that there's no national standard for elections. All 50 states determine how their elections are run. And so, you know, the Trump campaign is actually trying to slow down vote by mail. They were against it, even though he votes by mail. Donald Trump himself votes by mail.
Well, and the state down in Florida that he so you know, is tied with now, tied to.
Yeah, yeah, he relocated to Florida.
Yes, and some say was kicked out of New York, but I won't go there. I'll be nice, listeners, because I know we've got some Trump listeners who are fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show, and we've got some Biden fans, so we'll be nice. We'll play nice in the sandbox today. No, I tell you, I want to ask you, and again, if you're just kind of tuning in and catching a conversation, we're on with Wayne Smith. He was the mayor in Irvington, New Jersey for 12 years. And, you know, just to talk a little bit about that, and then we're going to jump back in. Wayne Smith, tell us a little bit. I mean, you have a remarkable career in politics, just a shining beacon. You're still doing amazing things. But when you look back at the time that you were in office, do you reflect back now differently than please tell us about that.
So you're older. You're obviously, you know, we say hindsight is always 2020. when you're not there. But you often reflect the things that you did right, the things that you did wrong, the things if you had an opportunity you would do differently. It all those experiences help you even when you are in the private sector because you know how government works. So yeah, I reflect often. And I just did an interview for one of our local papers called Local Talk, and they asked me if I missed being in public office, and I said the part that I miss the most is having the ability to help people both in small and large ways. So, I'll give you an example. So sometimes in the public sector, people come to you for all kinds of help, and some of it you never talk about because it's, you know, their business. But to be able to have the ability, whether it's in the public sector, the private sector, to help someone who's looking for employment, to help a young person with educational programs or recreational programs or giving them their first job. One of the things that's interesting is that I've often run into people who are now young adults, and they say, hey, you gave me my first job, or I worked for you in the summer, or I remember you used to come to my school and read or talk to us. And those kinds of things, you know, when you go through all the headaches of being in public life, those are the things that make you smile because, you don't get that, you don't see that while you're doing them. And people can often tell you how much they appreciated those things because they're older, they were younger, et cetera, or something that you did that you never even know you did that helped someone's life. So those kinds of things make you reflect on, you know, people often reflect on the negative about public life and politics, but there's some very pleasurable things you can only get from that experience, and whatever influence you have to do good, you know, makes me smile when I get an opportunity to see that. But yeah, I do often reflect, and because I'm a consumer of government services now in a more different way, because I'm not setting policy or direction or running the government, you get a chance to see how other people do it. You know, sometimes you agree, sometimes you disagree, and how you can influence the process. And now that's where I view myself more as an influencer, educating young people about how the process works, using some of the skills I've learned to get government to respond, knowing how it is to be in those places when people have to make a decision and how you influence them to make a decision which you think is in the best interest of the community. You still have those abilities because those are learned skills.
I have to say, Wayne, as I listen to you, and let me also just say this, the ability to help people, and you were just talking about that in big and small ways, and you kind of missed that ability, opportunity to do that as much as you'd like. Well, let me tell you, you have still been an instrumental help to many folks out there with what you're doing. So that's never going to change whether you ever decide to, you know, to be mayor again or anything else out there in the world. I've got to say this, though. There are folks who, and I really want to break this down because there seems to be clarity that we don't seem to always have, I believe, in the way of understanding politics. Now, we've got city politics, we have state politics, and we have federal politics. Is that right? Am I saying it correctly?
Can you just tell everybody about this, Wayne? Yeah, so city politics, or some people refer to it as local politics, so there are probably a couple of strands of local politics. So New Jersey is very much like New York, so you have your city council, which is your legislative branch of government. They, and I was a city councilman for 6 years and president of the city township council for 4 of those 6 years that I served. So that is, they make the laws for a city. And
but
so,
don't they,
you know,
seem
you
heavily focused on zoning issues and building?
That is absolutely right. They are those are the issues that, that are delegated to the powers of local government. Most local governments are creations of state government. So local governments are given certain powers that they are, that they reside over. And zoning and local law, traffic laws that impact the city budget, how many police you have, how many police you don't have, how many your health department, all those kinds of things, your fire department, you know, public safety is always the kind of like the number one issue for local government. Now, you have a couple of strands of local government. A lot of places you have your cities, your townships, your hamlets, your boroughs. Those are different formats of what they call city or local government. But then you have a bigger subdivision that is not quite as big as the state, and it's still considered local government. That's county government. So I know New York has county.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, but that's considered local government. That's considered local government. So your city government, your little local where you live at, and then you have county government that opens. So now the next level after local government is your state government. So every state has a state legislature. Sometimes they're made up of representatives in one house and a state senate, and they make the laws for that particular state. They determine what the state budget is. And one of the provinces of state government is elections. Elections are dictated to generally by state law. They're not. There's no federal standard other than the right to vote, but registration, how elections are conducted, are the province of state and local governments. And so the state, you know, you have your state universities, you have a whole host of things that state governments do. And then, of course, you have your federal election, your federal government. And your federal government is composed of the House of Representatives or your congresspeople that represent an election district of, you know, it could be a number of towns. It could be a major piece could be in one city. But congressional districts are drawn. And you know, we just went through a tremendous time with getting people to fill out the census.
Yeah.
And the census determines how many, you know, because of population, how many representatives you're going to have in the House of Representatives, how many congresspeople you're going to have, because every state has their senators. So that's why the census becomes important, because after the census determines not only how many people we have, but what your political representation looks like, and based on the number of people, what federal funds may be designated for education, for health care, et cetera. So that's why it's important for the census, because they're going to cut up those election districts. So every 10 years, as a part of the federal system, election districts may change based on the population. So some areas, that's why it's important to be counted, because some areas will lose population. Now, some of that is a natural progression of people maybe going from the north to the south or vice versa, from the south to the north. But if people are still here and they're not being counted, then that means money may not be allocated to provide services for all the people that are there. So if you don't know you have a certain number of children, you won't plan for schools for those children. So you have the House of Representatives, you have your United States Senate. The United States Senate is supposed to be your more deliberate body, because most of the time they get a chance to run and a longer period of time. Some, you know, some terms are 6 years, et cetera. Yeah, and the House of Representatives, some of them have to run almost every 2 years. So, you know, it's supposed to cover some vast interests. And then, of course, the major thing that we're dealing with right now is the election of who will be the president of the United States. And the president of the United States has some vast powers. Symbolically, the president of the United States is the leader of the free world, because the U.S. has such an impact globally that our influence grows beyond our borders. So the president is not only the president of the United States, but he's supposed to be the leader of those countries that purportedly believe in a democracy, and in many other respects, a capitalist economy. So he has a role both here in the United States, but his powers are vast. He has so many jobs that he can pick as president. But in addition to his cabinet, there are thousands of jobs that the president of the United States gets to put, have input in and designate. So
it's an enormous responsibility.
So that's why one of the issues for particularly in schools and for even adults, every now and then, we should brush off the Constitution and see what the powers of the president are, what the powers of Congress. The Congress has, with all the tremendous resources the federal government has, the Congress really has the power of the purse. The president gets a chance to spend it, but the Congress determines what it's spent on. And so sometimes that power blurs, and there's sometimes court challenges that the president may overstep his bounds, and so forth and so on budget. Really, Congress is the one that the president is the commander in chief, but the Congress is supposed to be the one that declares war, not the president. So it's a lot for folks to digest sometimes, because we're so busy doing what we do to earn a living that we don't oftentimes have the opportunity to pay attention to government. In a way, so it's an interesting scenario. There's this whole profession called. Go ahead.
Yes, no, you go ahead. I'm sorry. The profession called.
So there's this whole profession called lobbyists.
Yes.
Who talk about that?
Yeah.
Yes, who certain companies or certain interests hire to look out at the government to see how it impacts them. So let's take the hair industry. So say the people who make the products that many of us use, and you're in the product development business as well. So if somebody does something that impacts that business, many times they'll have lobbyists that are part of the beauty and health industry come say, hey, if you do that, it's going to hurt our industry. We won't be able to make products at a certain cost to sell it to a consumer for a certain cost. And so, you know, I don't know too many congressmen or experts on the beauty business. So the lobbyists play a role. Some nefarious and some really a service, educating them to say, hey, look, if you do that, it may cost us jobs over here. If you do that, so you know whether it's good or bad, these lobbyists serve a role that many people, the founding fathers, never even thought about. How do we put these powers in place? But how do you influence them? We think they're just citizens. So now there's a whole profession of people who are professional persuaders, and don't even get into the lawyers who actually battle in court over how the law is, how the Constitution, what's a constitutional violation, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a lot. It's a lot. Government is probably one of the biggest businesses in the world, and it certainly regulates all of them, and all of our, and in many respects, impacts our lives by what they do.
But we have to pension. If we've learned nothing in these last few years.
Yeah, absolutely. You see how not paying attention, not voting. So, you know, every election people tells you this is the most important election. Well, they're really not wrong.
Well, that's right.
Every election is important. And it's not just the presidential election.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And that's kind of why, Wayne, when I look back, you know, I started getting really involved. I think for me, the biggest eye-opening moment, the aha moment, as Oprah says, in recent years for me has been that the president, you mentioned it earlier, has so much power. Because I never could understand so much why a lot of the former presidents, you know, they really kind of were reluctant to weigh in on whoever's in office at that time. You know, folks, they shut up and button up real quick. They're scared to criticize because I believe that whoever's in that office and in the administration, they have so much power, they can pretty much look through every aspect of your life. And instantly, I think, and I could be wrong, but I believe that they have so much access because they're in charge of, you know, everything that pretty much rolls in the country. And so I think that folks may be reluctant to speak out. And the other thing I wanted to mention, you talked about that the president, you know, should be standing for democracy everywhere throughout the world. So what happens when it appears that the very person who should be standing up for democracy seems to be trying to do away with it?
Yeah,
and you don't have to be blind or, you know, to be able to not see that. So what do you say about something in this situation where that's the way it seems?
See, So many people think that President Trump, and I agree, has this dictatorship-like style about how he tries to govern. And so, you know, in our U.S. Constitution and in our laws, there are many things we can do. And you saw people standing up to the president who either revealed both publicly or through different channels. You have this whole category of people called whistleblowers. When they see something in government that's not right, they sound the alarm. And luckily for our form of government, there have been
brave souls that have stood up.
Yeah, and stood up and done that. And so it takes courage to do that. It takes courage to do even some of the simple things. It takes courage to get out there and vote because people will try to discourage you from that. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, when you have these conversations with people, say, well, I don't think it makes a difference. Well, okay, yes, you're right to think that way. But it does make a difference. And so when people say, I don't have this government service or that government service, you know, elections have consequences. And
that's why it
matter.
Makes a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. So the reality is that there are inflection points in our system that we can do something about it. And so we have to exercise those inflections. And you do those in many ways. You do that, one, in voting when you're dissatisfied. You know, and we don't win every election, that your candidate doesn't win every time, but it certainly tells people where you are. Reasonable people will change their position when they want to stay in office. So, you know, you have to use every tool you have available to you. And, you know, it takes courage to be engaged. It takes courage to speak out. It takes courage to write. It takes courage to try to persuade people to participate in the process. And thank God our system has created checks and balances. You go back to the Nixon days and Watergate, had not people been able to stand up, even some of Nixon's own people later stood up to the president when he was wrong, and we were able to remove or get him to resign from office. So, you know, those things, I don't think you're going to be so lucky. I think we're going to have to vote this guy out and probably drag him out.
Well, see, that's what I was about to say. Back in the Nixon days, the country was not necessarily as divisive. There was not as much political rhetoric to this degree. And it wasn't the fires, I don't think, were stoked. The flames weren't stoked so much as they are these days, it seems.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I I've lived long enough to see what I call kind of like the recycling of history, if you will. If you look at the effort, and Trump is trying to mirror some of the Nixon, the law and order strategy, spending people in the cities after all these things happened around the country, which created some rebellion, though, you know, it's some unnecessary violence, but nevertheless an expression of what people were feeling at that time. We lived through that through the 60s and the 70s. And even the whole Rodney King incident, what that. So the country was divided at those inflection points. There were points of healing, but it, everything is relative. For that state in history, I think we were there. So that's how Nixon rode into the White House, with this kind of law and order strategy after the,
right.
which turned out to be ironic
in his case.
Yeah, he ended up. So I think it's all relative. The thing that makes it seem more a focal point now is because we have so many points of media where people, you know, things will, you even look at situations where you look at George Floyd and others, even the Rodney King incident, you know, now we have so much more media and information can get around the world so quickly.
And the internet.
Yeah, and the internet, and people's phones are now a communication vehicle. Everybody can send a message around the world in a matter of seconds. So right. We didn't have that ability to communicate in those years, but it's all relative. You know, I look at the civil rights movement. I look at the young people who are promoting, who started and promoted Black Lives Matter, where it's the theme of the country right now. That people understand that there were challenges being Black in the country, and now the whole country's saying, and the civil rights movement, you know, we still had major resistance to. After the civil rights movement, you had the Voting Rights Act, you had all these other things that happened that allegedly helped us, you know, operate better in America. So, you know, it's relative. I think it was as divisive. It may be more so because there was more built-in resistance then. We've lived through a period where we've had an African-American reach the highest office of the land. We never had that back then. So, and certainly we have more people who've entered the mainstream of American life, both in arts and in entertainment and even money. I look at this guy, Robert Smith, who gave the
billionaire guy.
Yeah, who gave the scholarship to the Morehouse students, who just paid a fine to the federal government of about $140 million. Now, he paid
that's
a fine.
That's pocket change for him.
yeah, absolutely. He's got billions. But so we never had that before. You know, we've got a whole new playing field today. And so while we see a lot of divisiveness, I think it's all relative. I think it was probably maybe just as divisive in those days as well.
Right, I hear you. Well, listen, folks, we've been listening to the amazing Wayne Smith. You guys know him. He's been with us many, many, many times right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, in office himself as mayor in Irvington, New Jersey for 12 years, political dynamo and business dynamo as well, and you have just done so many things. I have to tell you, I appreciate the education. You have definitely given us some background on city, local politics and, you know, the whole thing with the difference between the state legislature and the federal government and all of that wonderful good stuff. But I believe, like you were talking about the media, and then we're going to jump back into this current, you know, what's happening out here politically and with regards to the election. But I remember it seems to me, you were talking about media, and I feel that a lot of this seems to be at the issue that these antitrust laws were kind of done away with and allowed for media conglomerates to have too much influence. And when they seem to have so much influence, it kind of muffled out any dissenting voices or not even giving opportunities to folks who look differently and to the other folks who are in the majority of the people who are in this country who look, you know, and represent every color of the rainbow. But because you have these monopolies that, again, these lobbyists were able to influence these politicians who did away with these antitrust laws, allowing for the monopoly of broadcasting and media to take a great part of, you know, to create this whole one, you know, kind of way to present, especially where it comes to presenting people of color and so forth and so on. I don't know. That's just my take on it. And I think that these laws were set up to protect the people against these corporations having these types of monopolies.
I think you're absolutely
right. What do you
right.
say to that, Wayne?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely right. I think one of the things, too, that's hurt with the consolidation of media is that the advent of local news has changed with the conglomeration of maybe the major media companies. You find it's very difficult for you to get any local information about your neighborhood once in a blue moon. I mean, so, you know, and then the desolation of the newspaper industry, where people used to pick up the newspaper every day and at least read, I think is a major challenge of dumbing down the population where they don't know what's going on. I picked up the, you know, you and a lot of this stuff is online now, but you do have a major challenge with the digital divide. Where people who don't have the resources, et cetera, don't get information if they're not as astute. If they don't have a computer, how do they find out stuff? And there's still people in America who are challenged by it. We're finding that out by what's going on with the coronavirus with schooling. You know, with all these schools having to go remote, there's a major challenge for poor families who don't have the ability. Now, a lot of schools had to supply computers. Some school districts could not supply all the computers that they need, but it's a challenge. I know right here in New Jersey, that was a challenge even in my own town. They're saying that there was not enough computers. The governor was trying to raise money between the government and private sector, calling on philanthropic people to give money. So, yeah, it's information. But at the same time, I think there's a glimmer of hope. As we said, in the civil rights movement, when people were protesting, except for the ability of the media to cover the marches, you couldn't get information out as quickly as we can get information out today. Something can happen, and you can broadcast from your phone.
True, that's right.
Yeah, and so you know, so there's glimmers of hope that this idea of they call citizen media. Where people can actually, you know, make their news by, you know, carrying the phone. I mean, you can hold a press conference now. You get people together, and you can do Facebook Live and all that. Now, the Congress is now, I think they called the heads of Google, Facebook, and Microsoft.
Oh yes, I just saw that a few days ago.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So media has also changed. I mean, we're doing streaming. You know, my early career, I was involved with some concert promotion, and the music business has changed. Even though I was just reading recently that with streaming and other formats, the music industry is going to be on the upswing again. So, but the one interesting thing as we transition from what I call old media to new media is that it seemed like there were more opportunities even in the music business for people to get out there. And these conglomerations killed all these little local records. We had records then, killed a lot of the independent labels who were doing music.
Yes, I think that did happen. But I'll tell you something, and I listened to Cece this morning talk about the music industry. Cece Tennyson was the guest early this morning. I played one of the classic interviews with her, and we were talking about the industry. I do believe that it has opened up individually, but like you said, and she even said it as well, there it's both sides, it's good and bad. You can kind of get the music out there a little bit easier because now anybody can just put out something and be a star, literally, and promote yourself. You don't have to go shop to every label in town anymore. You can release your music yourself, and you also get to benefit financially from that directly, which that didn't exist in the old days. You know, you had to have these huge deals, and even then you didn't make much of those deals generally. It was really difficult. Acts had to tour and all that kind of stuff. So it's just, I guess there are good and bad things in everything. So, Wayne, I've got to tell you, and I want to definitely talk a little bit. And, folks, again, let me just kind of quickly bring you up to speed. Wayne Smith is joining us today. It is Friday, October 30th of 2020. We're talking about politics and trying to get everybody to understand how important it is for them to vote. How important is it for folks to vote, Wayne? Is it important?
Yeah, so if you want to express your point of view about what's going on in society, I think that's one of the tools, and a very important one for you to utilize. And so you can express your opinion. You have the right to do that. But the policymakers who make the decisions that impact all of our lives are only affected by your vote. Now, of course, you know, they take political contributions as well. But at the end of the day, they're spending billions of dollars to influence you to vote. Some people are spending millions of dollars to influence you not to vote.
Not to vote, exactly.
Yeah, so it must be
important. That's right.
Voting. If all this money is being spent on people's ability to vote or not to vote, to get you to vote, not get you to vote. And so you got to think about that. You know, that must be important to somebody. And so it should be important to you in terms of expressing your point of view at the ballot box.
Exactly. And speaking of the ballot box, let's talk about the ballot box again, because this is important. Folks have been concerned about, you know, first let's break it on down again. For what is the difference between the absentee ballots and the mail-in ballots and the in-person voting? Because we've been looking at the news over these last few days, and talk to us a little bit about that, and then we'll get into, the long lines.
Okay, so some states, even before we had the coronavirus, allowed for, and still do, some states. You have to remember, you have to check with wherever you live, what state you live in, to determine what the voting rules are. But so absentee ballots were set up. So if you wanted to vote and you were ill and you wanted to cast your ballots, generally you make an application to your election officials that you need to vote by absentee because you were ill, you were going to be in Africa or Europe and you were not going to be in the country and you wanted to vote, or you had some extenuating circumstances based on that state law that allowed you to vote absentee. That's what absentee ballots were. You were not going to be able to get to the ballot box to vote. Vote by mail became a phenomenon, much more of a phenomenon, because of COVID-19, and where people were saying in order to administer elections. Now, some states before COVID-19 began to implement vote by mail as an easier way for folks to participate in the voting process. So some states were, I'll call, enlightened.
And they would just mail out ballots to everybody, right?
Yeah, who was a registered voter, absolutely right. So maybe I should go back to that part first. In order to vote in most states, you have to fill out a form to register to vote. So that's still an important process that you do. So in most states, the voting age is 18 years old. Once you become 18 or any time thereafter, you have to register to vote. And then if you want to apply for this absentee ballot, you can. So vote by mail became a phenomenon as people wanted to say, how do we get more people to participate? How do we make it easier for people to participate? And maybe voting by mail might be an easier way, folks. Remember, we live in kind of an urban metropolitan area where you can get to places, whether it's public transportation or whatever. Even some of our voting sites are walking distance from where we live. You've got some parts of the country where it's not so easy to get to a place to vote. If you're in a rural area and your car breaks down or you don't have a car, a truck, or whatever, it might be difficult for you to get to the ballot box. So vote by mail became a viable option for maybe situations like that. So they allowed for that. So now, because of COVID-19, they began to look more broadly about how do we get people to the polls in a safe fashion, or how do we get them to participate to vote in a safe fashion. So voting by mail became the major proposition for people to participate without having to go outside and wait in lines and so forth and so on. So you cut down the risk. There are some people who just were so used to voting in person that they resisted that. So you have in a number of states a mixed bag. Some states have some in-person voting and with a combination of vote by mail. In some states, you have to request the vote by mail, very much like the absentee ballot. So those are the kind of the three grabs. There are some places that are allowing people to go to the polls. And the other concept is early voting. So I was watching Mayor de Blasio in New York stand in line with everybody else for 2 or 3 hours to go vote, because New York allowed early voting, but you had to it was in-person early vote. So you had to stand in line. The goal was, I think, with early voting, to stop the mad exodus on election day. So imagine if all those people who voted early had showed up on Tuesday. Then you would have triple the time people would be waiting to get the opportunity to cast their ballot. So some jurisdictions implemented early voting to cut down on some of that crowd. Unintended consequences happened. You still have big crowds in Atlanta and other places. There were lines around the corner. And so the good news
criticized that mayor of New York. I'm here in Brooklyn, and I remember he was criticizing the long lines because he felt that they should, the folks who are handling the elections here in New York should have had a better handle or plan to kind of minimize those long lines, because it doesn't fall under his jurisdiction. he probably wouldn't have been saying anything, because
Yeah, he's proposing some changes to how the Board of Election runs. So that's a classic example. In most local jurisdictions that manage elections, they're managed by this thing called the Board of Elections. And so the local government delegates to a board the ability to run elections. And so the Board of Elections determine how they're run. Hold on a second. My house alarm went off.
Well, we're live this morning, and while Wayne is checking on that, this is a good time to just let everybody know we've been chatting with the amazing Wayne Smith today, and Wayne has truly educated us on the political process, and particularly at this time. Wayne, I have to say, you've just really, really, really helped to peel back quite a few layers on this complicated issue of voting, elections, where people fall politically, remembering to continue to motivate everybody to get out and do what they need to do. I can't wait to share this with everybody. So we're going to definitely put this into a podcast as well and make it accessible to everybody all over the world, literally. And then we want you to come back after this election.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the post and what's going to happen, right?
Yes, I'm concerned about that. I know we have about 3 minutes. Let me ask you, Wayne, because a whole bunch of this was made big about the post office, and there were boxes that were lost, or they tried to take him out of service. This was the man that was put into office by the current administration, and all kinds of political maneuvering. So, folks, it just sowed a seed of doubt, in my opinion. So what do you have to say about that whole thing with stuff?
I think that the American public did a service by exposing that and shows that our system of government can work, even despite what machinations that the Trump administration has tried to do by slowing down the vote by mail. And so that's why it's important who gets control of the government. People don't know that the postmaster general, there's a board of governors that controls that. And, a combination of Congress and the president. And it's the postal services, though it's a part of the U.S. government, is like an independent agency. And so they hire
We've got about 30 seconds going forward. Listen, I'm going to start our outro. Next week, Wayne, I'm going to reach out to you so we can... Morning coffee, vanilla latte sip to go.
Drink it slow. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hunt.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Kerry Hines.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share,
please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air.
I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details. You're listening to The Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I'm actually on location in downtown Brooklyn. We're talking about New York City, and I'm so excited. Typically, you guys know I'm in the studio, and we are just kind of broadcasting from an enclosed edifice, if you will. Well, today, I'm so excited because as a bonus, we are able to reunite with the one and only Mr. Lonel Williams, who has decided to make an appearance. Lonel, I have to say this. So being out here in New York, what on earth comes to mind now? Because you really are, you're back in the city. So what is this like?
I am loving being back here. The first thing that comes to mind is allergy medication, because I even sound a little nasally, I love being outdoors, but my allergies are just like going nuts. But there's no place like New York. Just the energy, the sun is shining, the vibrance, the diversity. I love all things New York City, even the bad stuff about it.
We never hear anything about that.
Never, never. I haven't seen a rat in the subway yet.
Exactly.
I guess I have to go back on the subway, but yeah, we'll see. No, but I absolutely love being in the city. I just love it.
Well, I gotta say, because we are here in what's the name of this park again?
This is Fort Greene Park in Brooklyn. I can't believe you don't know where this is, but okay.
No,
yes, Fort Greene Park, Brooklyn. Green. We're in the United States, Carrie.
Okay. Oh, I heard that. Well, you know what? It's true. It's true. Because I guess I'm always inside the studio. Rarely do we get an opportunity to go outside, which is why I really jumped at the chance today to come out and be able to tape and certainly to catch up with Mr. Lonel Williams, who goes so far back, go way, way, way back, and to see what's new and be out amongst the people, literally. And I'm going to put a lot of these pictures onto our fan page at hairradio.com. So you'll be able to go there. I'll post some wonderful little things here with Lonel and all this kind of stuff. So Lonel, so here in New York, give the folks a sense of, like, you're here with you've got some plans. Anything at all you can share with the fans of we're going to put them on the spot, folks. Anything you can share with the fans of Hair Radio?
You know, I don't...
you don't kiss and tell.
I don't have any exclusives that I can offer you at this time, but I can just say follow 3OWTV, 3OWTV.com, and any updates or first releases, you know, I'll let you know. But this time, this particular visit for me is really just about enjoyment and catching up with friends. I don't really have... I've got a couple of things, actually, a couple of work things, but they're kind of tied into joy. You know, I try to walk that line. If I don't enjoy doing it, then why bother?
Exactly.
So if I can't have some fun out of make some fun out of it, I don't want to be bothered. So I have some stuff I have planned, but you just have to stay tuned.
Okay, it gets no better than that. I want to thank you, Lonel. Thank you for taking a moment or two. Send us off with some of your positive words of encouragement. Until we meet again on the Hair Radio Morning Show, what do you have to say to everybody?
Live each moment to the fullest. No matter what don't be defined by the appearance of your circumstances. It's just the appearance of it. You've got to see your vision beyond that. See where you want to be. See yourself in that space. And manifest it.
It gets no better than that. The Hair Radio Morning Show, again, thanks Mr. Lionel Williams of 3LWTV.com. Check him out. And again, we'll be right back. Stay with us, folks. We've got more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
Listen every Tuesday morning at 8:30 Eastern to Vet Talk with Michael Hopkins, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, live. We're all about hair, beauty, and community. Catch the replays on Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern at our 24/7 hairradio.com network.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Terry Hines. Now, my very, very special guest with us today is civil rights attorney Lisa Bloom of the Bloom Firm. Lisa, I want to welcome you back to the Hair Radio Morning Show and talk a little bit about why you're here today and this extraordinary case that's really gripped everybody. Welcome back to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. Now, I want to kind of go back because this is a recent case that there's been so much in the news, even, you know, with similar type things happening around the country. But this particular case goes back to, like, on August 30th. It was a young girl, who a 16-year-old young girl, who was allegedly body slammed to the ground by one of the school's resource officers. I'm sorry, I'm making air quotes here. Here in my whole, you know, doing this. This is just unreal to me. But I want to talk a little bit about, first let me get the facts on out about this case. Now, so can you describe for us what the, you are representing the team, what did she share about this incident? We've seen the video, but what did she share that you can tell us?
Right, and just to catch everybody else up, in case they haven't seen the video, what's captured on the video is she appears to be, she's in her own high school, minding her own business, and she appears to be walking away from this sheriff's deputy who's positioned in the school, which we think he should not even be there in the first place. But he puts his hands on her, he body slams her to the ground, he straddles her, and you can hear her on the video just calling out for him to get off of her, and she wants to call her mother, and she's not allowed to call her mother. It's been very upsetting to her. After this incident, what you don't see on the video, but which is not disputed, is then she was hauled off to the sheriff's station out of her school, so she wasn't allowed to finish the day in school and go to her classes. Mm. She's taken to the sheriff's station. Nobody called her mother, despite her repeatedly asking to call her mother or asking somebody else to call her mother. Her mother then shows up at the school at 3 o'clock to pick up her daughter, watches the 2,000 kids in that large school leave, and her daughter's not there. And she doesn't know what's going on. She makes 15 phone calls to administrators, and we have the screenshots, trying to find out what's going on. She gets recordings. You have to talk to this person. You have to talk to that person. She gets the runaround. And finally, she's told that her daughter is at the sheriff's station, which is very concerning for any mother. She goes over there, and she's still not allowed to see her daughter. Her daughter's asking for water, denied. And eventually, they take the daughter over to juvenile hall. And then the mother has to drive all the way over to Sylmar to Juvenile Hall, which is some distance away. And at 8 p.m. that night, finally her daughter is released to her. I mean, this is outrageous. And I just want to say that there have been wonderful activists in this community working for a long time with an organization called Cancel the Contract to get rid of law enforcement in the school to begin with. It's $1.8 million a year they pay, the school district pays, to have law enforcement there. That money would be better spent for counselors and mental health for the kids. And, you know, teenagers are occasionally going to be disrespectful, mouth off, walk away. It doesn't justify physical violence against them, making them into criminals, booking them into juvenile hall. It's just appalling. It's been devastating for this 16-year-old girl who I represent. She went back to school the next day. She felt that this officer continued to harass her. Oh, you're back. I didn't expect to see you. Hi, here I am, you know. And so now she's not even in the school. She's staying home doing independent study, and he's still there. So it's really an outrageous situation, and that's why I decided to get involved to fight for justice for her.
Lisa, I am speechless here. This is it's unreal that this is happening in the year 2021.
It
now, I definitely want to ask you, how is she doing, though? I understand, you know, with what's going on, but how is she under these circumstances? This would be a lot for anybody of any age to have to deal with. I can't imagine being a kid, you know.
You know, I think she's doing okay. She has a wonderful mom who's keeping a close eye on her. But, you know, you think about last year when the kids all had to do remote school, and they were all so excited to go back to school now in the fall. And for a 16-year-old, being able to socialize with your friends is a really big deal. She's now back home isolated because of this. So it's a very, very difficult time for her. She also, you know, has never had any kind of experience like this before. And we have been fortunate enough to have witnesses reach out to us, because I went to a rally out there last week and I asked anybody with information to please contact me. A couple of witnesses came forward and said they saw the whole thing. She wasn't threatening him. She wasn't being violent in any way. All she was doing was asking to call her mother. So that's very helpful. And we've also heard from other kids who have had similar bad experiences with this officer. So he's got to go. We think law enforcement should go entirely. And, you know, let's support our kids. Let's help our kids if they make mistakes. Let's, you know, build them up instead of tearing them down and committing acts of violence against them.
Lisa, I just want to get your opinion on this. Where did this come from, where the schools using these, to me it seems, it's just my opinion at Hair Radio, but these heavy-handed type of, you know, coming, you know, these heavy-handed, you know, officers, it seems, you know, where did this come from with the funding being provided by the, you know, the schools to, you know, to police? I just overusing some kind of counselor or somebody who specialized with dealing with, you know, situations and de-escalation and who have the real understanding, not just taught to use physical brute strength to exterminate threats and, you know, from teenagers or young, you know, I don't get this mentality where we are today.
Well,
how did we get here?
Yes.
Wow.
You know, so listen, when I was in school, when I was in high school in the 1970s, there was no police in our school. It was never, nobody ever even considered
exactly.
that. You know, they'd come like once a year and make a presentation to tell us all not to do drugs, and that was about it. And, you know, plenty of us acted out, and, you know, we were teenagers and we did bad things, but, you know, there was never a concept that a police officer would be there to accost you if that happened. In the 1990s, we had this real fear of juvenile crime and a lot of tough-on-crime measures. And the idea was that juveniles are committing a lot of crimes, that we have to have police in our schools. We got increased funding for police. And you know the expression, if all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. You know, if you're a police officer, any kind of disrespect or somebody walking away, you know, looks like they're not respecting your authority, and you've got to assert your authority. You know, and that's how police are trained. And, you know, maybe if you're on the street with violent criminals and you tell them
that
to stop and they don't stop,
right.
It might make some sense. But, you know, when you're talking about teenagers who are just in their own school trying to go to class, it's a whole different thing. And, you know, thank God for a lot of people who are working to change this, because it's wrong and we don't need them in the schools.
No, not at all. But Lisa, while we have you, folks, if you're just kind of joining us, my very special guest on the Hair Radio Morning Show today is Lisa Bloom. Now, you guys know her. You've seen her on TV. She is one of the leading civil rights attorneys out here in the country from the Bloom firm. I got to get it right, Lisa. And again, I just want to thank you so much. Yes, you are just awesome here, representing folks, helping out so many of these cases where folks, you know, you're the first person they turn to now with this. So this is really something else. Now, what's next for her that you can share with us?
So we will be shortly filing what's called a government claim, which is the first step when you want to file a complaint against somebody who works in the government, either a sheriff's officer or the school. And, you know, we think the school bears some responsibility. Certainly the sheriffs bear some responsibility. And we're going to be writing a letter to the school and demanding that he be removed from the school. You know, usually when there's a complaint against the sheriff's deputy, they're immediately put on suspension pending the investigation. That has not happened. And if we don't get
any
results, yes. And if we, you know, and this is all captured on video. So how much investigation do you need, honestly? I mean, the only justification would be for this if she had, like, pulled out a gun or a knife or something. But, you know, she was completely unarmed, and the only thing she's accused of, as I said, is walking away from him. So that's not, you know, and by the way, that's what we want kids to do, right? It's what we teach people to do.
Exactly.
If there's a conflict, walk away. That's a good thing.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
I salute her for doing that. So
absolutely.
He needs to be put on suspension pending the investigation. We will fully cooperate with the investigation, and then he needs to be out of there, and all of law enforcement needs to be out of there. She needs to be compensated for what has happened to her. We need to make this right, and we need to get her back going to school, but only when she feels safe. You know,
absolutely.
It's very traumatic to be back there and to think any time you turn a corner in a crowded hallway, he might be there, you know, grinning at you, making comments to you. We also, at the rally last week, we had a father who talked about his 14-year-old African-American son who happens to be 6 feet tall, and he's like, I'm afraid for my kid. I'm afraid to send him to school every day. I'm afraid he's going to be perceived as a threat because I know how that is for African-American boys. You know, this is something that's bigger than just my client and my case, but, you know, I was so moved by this. I had to jump in and help, and I'm just really grateful for the community because this is not just about me and my client. This is about a community rising up and saying no.
Absolutely. Speaking of a community rising up, I did see some of the footage of the folks at the rally, and I just want to say how awesome is that for the community to stand up and say enough is enough. So great job, and thank you for leading the charge on that. I tell you, here, this has been quite a bit to kind of deal with out here in New York and seeing and hearing some of these cases over and over and over again. You have our full support, and whatever we can do on our end to help this young lady and with what you're doing in the case, and just you have our full support. So,
thank you, Carrie.
You're very much welcome. So just reminding everybody, you know, what if there's something, she's done nothing that I could even see. There's just, if this is too uneven. Now, I do want to mention two quick things to you, and we'll let you go. Lisa, why is it that it always seems on these videos that seem to surface, there's always a go-to line? Well, the first line that I always hear is, you should have seen what happened right before the video starts.
Right.
Every time. I've heard, that's right. One. And then the other is, wait until all the facts come out. Why
right.
do we, you know, when I hear those things, you know they're in trouble. There's nothing new that you're going to hear. But
right.
I just want folks to know
right
that we know it.
The interesting thing is right before the video starts, they were in a place in the school hallway where there's also a video camera that, oh, don't you know, just happens to not be working that day.
Oh.
And I can't tell you how many police misconduct cases I've had on behalf of African Americans who were assaulted where the body camera just wasn't working that day. The security camera wasn't working that day. Give me a break. All of your equipment should be in good working order before you start the day. And if it's not, that's
absolutely.
On you, and that should be held against
exactly.
you. And we also have two witnesses to what happened before who say she did not do anything threatening whatsoever. In fact, he was talking to her in a very disrespectful way, and she decided to walk away. So, your second – what was your second point? Remind me.
Well, the first one was the, you should have seen before it started. The second line that you always hear is, wait till all the facts come out. Those
right,
are the two
exactly.
go-tos that we've heard. If I just had a dime every time I've heard that.
Well, listen, I am a lawyer, and I do believe that all of the facts should come in before anybody loses their job or makes a decision. That's fine. I'm fine with that. But I think we do have sufficient facts at this end. What we've heard from the officer is really different. She was threatening him on the Friday before. No, she was threatening him on that day. And, you know, she flinched with her shoulders, and that indicated some kind of threat. I mean, I don't know who attacks somebody with their shoulders. This is a 5'4", 16-year-old girl against an armed deputy. I mean, did he really think a flinch of the shoulders was some kind of threat? I mean, give me a break. You know, I think we have all of the facts, but if there are additional facts, let's hear them. Let's bring it out now, because there's a girl right now at home who's suffering. So what are we waiting for?
Well, we're glad that you're on the case. Let me just say that. You always bring it to us at the Hair Radio Show, so we so appreciate and support you out there. So thank you so much. And anything you want to leave us with today on this?
Well, you know, I'm just very grateful any opportunity I have to help the African American community, which has always embraced me and been so kind to me. And I feel like it's everybody's job to stand up against isms of any kind, whether you're in that group or not. I loved seeing men standing up for women's rights or straight people standing up for LGBTQ rights and, you know, people who are melanin deprived like me standing up for racial civil rights, because it's really important and we are all in this together. If people want to contact me, I'm very active on social media, especially Twitter, where I am just Lisa Bloom, or on Instagram, where I am Lisa Bloom-esque, and I love to hear from folks.
Yes, yes. Well, we're going to keep you informed from our end on this, and we know that you're going to do the same with us. And I also want to shout out...
Morning coffee, vanilla latte, sip to go. Drink it slow.
This is Queen Treat, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hunt.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Terry Hines.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. Yes, I'm Kerry Hines. It is Wednesday morning, September 29th of 2021. It is my honor and great pleasure to have you guys on board with us today. We've got a lot still to unpack on today's broadcast. I just wanted to say, if you're just joining us, then you may have missed the amazing interviews that we've already aired. You just heard from television's top attorney, Lisa Bloom. You know that her mother, now her mother is Gloria Allred, who is a part of this huge, huge issue. That's this whole thing with singer, R&B singer, legendary singer, R. Kelly. She represents several of the folks who are suing the famed or defamed superstar. So that's her mom. So we're so happy. Both are acclaimed attorneys, and Lisa is a star in her own right on television. And I've shared those facts with you before. So really good stuff. Again, happy to have you on with us today. I'm going to turn this down just a little bit. We've got some announcements and things to kind of get to that will shape your upcoming days and months. All right, well, first of all, I just want you guys to save the date. Now, this is important. I made this announcement, yesterday on the broadcast for those of you who were tuned in, and that is that coming up on Sunday, February 6th, so it's Black History Month, and right here in New York City, we are going to be having a very special workshop with very, 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 very limited seating, but it is a beautiful location. We are doing 12 hours of boot camp training, literally overlooking New York City. So it's a beautiful skyline training center that will also have outdoor space if you need to get a quick little, you know, some cool, fresh air. But you'll be able to overlook New York City. It's going to be just absolutely gorgeous and stunning. And then with our own private, everything is being catered and taken care of, whether, you know, if breakfast, lunch, dinner, you know, cool beverages and fruits and all that wonderful good stuff. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous location. You are going to love it. It's right in downtown Brooklyn. We'll be announcing the physical space very, very, very soon. Tickets will be on sale, first come, first serve basis for hair industry professionals. We may have some tickets left over and a special training session if you're not a pro. But it's going to be probably in the area of about $250 for each person. And let me tell you something, an early bird ticket will probably be about $199 or so. But I'm very, very happy. It is, we are bringing the top folks to talk, train, and educate. And also gift bags and just, it's going to be recorded. You know, we're doing a red carpet, really rolling, and it's gorgeous. And I'll be putting out the location and pictures and all of that stuff real soon. So it's something that you really want to get in. Reserve a ticket early. That's the key. Reserve your ticket. We have rooms available for those of you who want to make it a nice weekend. So my suggestion is to fly in or come in on that Saturday. The workshop starts 7 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. It goes for 12 hours, 7 to 7. And we are looking at possibly doing a Monday as well. So right now, it's Sunday, the 6th of February. You want to save that date and stand by because we may have another announcement in which, you know, it's just going to be through the roof. So please, 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 if you're interested, let us know. Start looking into your travel. We'll be working on all of that wonderful good stuff. And we'll be talking more about this as we move along. We are so happy to have you with us again. I'm Carrie Hines. We're going to take a little bit of a commercial break. Want to just say, speaking of commercials, let's just acknowledge our legacy sponsors. We have to take a moment to do that. Smooth Black, you guys know him. We're talking about the irrepressible Troy Ballard, Rugged Evolution Beard Care. RuggedEvo.com is their website, StimulatingRoots.com, and Roots is spelled R-U-T-Z. FixYourFeet.com with the one and only Dr. Yolanda Ragland will be joining us on Tuesday morning's broadcast. That's the 5th of October 2021. She'll be with us live on the air for about a half hour. Then we roll on into Vet Talk Radio with Michael Hopkins. We'll have something that we'll be talking about that soon right here on the broadcast. And to the new monthly sponsors who just kind of jump in and help us out with getting our shows on the air, we've got the hairempress.com. She's got great, beautiful, luxurious hair for sale. And again, her website is www.thehairempress.com. Also, Home Hair Solutions. Home Hair Solutions really says it all. We'll be kind of getting some of these commercials on. And you go, girl. You'll hear some of these commercials. We'll be playing them throughout the rest of the broadcast and so much more right here. Today is National Coffee Day. So we've been letting our music theme, our coffee theme, run throughout the day. So don't forget, grab that second or third cup of coffee you're entitled to today on this Wednesday morning, September 29, 2021. It's our show number 616. And in New York, it's chilly, to put it mildly. Okay, folks, it's really chilly. So fall is here. So for those of you who are not in the Northeast, be grateful. It's kind of cool. All right, folks. Again, lots more to get to this morning. Stay with us.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of The Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. That means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our black community my life. The black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring black hair care back. There are great black hair care companies that exist, black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the black community can own the biggest black hair care brands, that the black community can own black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in black neighborhoods, and black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the black hair care products that only black people use, and they are not owned by black people. So I've issued the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge. And tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a black-owned company.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now I have a very, very special guest with us today. He's from the world of music. You know him. His name is Lenny Williams. Lenny, welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Thank you so much.
Yes, we're happy to have you. Now, you have quite an expansive career in music. And the first thing that comes to mind when we think of Lenny Williams, you know where I'm going with this. Lenny, everybody recognizes you as... Yes.
Yeah, everybody wants to do the Yeah.
Exactly. How do you feel about that? I've always wanted to know that. How do you feel about being known as that the singer who... that's his tagline. How do you feel about that?
It's cool. I love it, you know. I mean, I've had songs that have been higher on the charts. Actually, because I Love You never was a single. You know, I've had songs that are in the top 10, and but this song seems to have distinguished itself. You know, it you know, has a something that stands out, and so most definitely it's humbling and it makes me feel good that you know, that people can identify me with that.
Well, that's amazing. So, 'Cause I Love You was never actually released as a single.
Yeah, never as a single. It was on
really?
It was just on the Spark of Love album. And I remember years later, MCA at that time, before it became Universal, wanted to do a single, and so they asked me to edit it, and then I tried it, and I was like, oh, yeah, it didn't work. And then they had Andre Fisher, now the Cole's husband at the time, to try to do it, and they didn't like that. So it was never ever been a single.
Wow.
Seven and a half minutes, right, yeah.
Wow, yes, and it is quite popular. And it just stands, I guess it's such a great song that it just stands the test of time and just has reached and touched so many different individuals. So I know you have
it's
to perform that everywhere you go.
Yeah. If I don't do that, they're going to run me out of town.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you got to do that. And we can't get enough of it. So, now, Lenny, I want to go back a little bit. I want to share with everybody. Yeah, let's go back. Where are you from? And, you know, just how did you get your start? Where are you from?
Well, I'm from Little Rock, Arkansas. That's where I was born. But I was actually raised in Oakland. Oakland, California. I came to Oakland when I was 18 months old. And my mom tells a story that she taught me how to say the Lord's Prayer. And so she invited some of the older women from the church. And she said, Leonard Charles knows how to say his prayers. And they gathered around. And so, you know, like, you know, time for me to, you know, say my prayers. And I said, Our Father. And then I threw my hands in the air and said, Hey, Baba Wee Bop, which was a hit song at that time. And so I guess I've just been listening to the radio and singing, you know, all my life. And then I started playing trumpet in the fourth grade. And then I went to church with the Stewart family, which is Sly Stone and his family, with Walter Hawkins, Ed Hawkins, Jermaine Hawkins, Andre Crouch, Sandra Crouch, Billy Preston, you know. So, you know, I was kind of always around music. And then after I kind of got out of the church, you know, I was hanging out with people like Huey Lewis and John Fogerty from Creedence Clearwater. So, you know, just always, it's always been a part of my life. Yeah.
So those were some of the influences. Who were some of the others?
Well, I loved Sam Cooke when I was growing up, so I listened to the radio and, you know, just trying to learn all the Sam Cooke songs. And my cousin and I, we went to school together, went to high school together, so we just grabbed us a, you know, a carton of milk and some cookies, and we'd walk around and sing Sam Cooke songs and have a contest and see who could, be the number one Sam Cooke imitator. And he'd always vote for himself, and I'd always vote for me. And so, you know, it was always a tie, yeah. But that was my main man right there, Sam Cooke.
Wow. Well, I want to talk about the Tower of Power days as well. What can you tell us about that whole experience? We know that you then went on to your remarkable solo career, but what can you tell us in summary about your days with Tower of Power?
Yeah, the way I met the guys in Tower of Power was I did a record in like 1969 on Fantasy Records. And everybody was saying, well, when are you going to do a show? When are you going to do a show? And I'm like, I don't have a band, so... A friend of mine introduced me to this guy, and he took me to Fremont, California, which is about 40 miles outside of Oakland to a suburb. And I went out there, and I met this young band, and they would call themselves the Motown Soul Band. So we started talking and hanging out and, you know, rehearsing and things, and then nothing ever came of it. And so fast forward a few years later, I was hanging out with Larry Graham, and we were writing songs, and Larry suggested we put some horns on it. So he said, I'm going to call the band Tower of Power. So they came over, and when they walked through the door, I'm like, oh, I remember these guys. They used to be the Motown Soul Band. So we got reacquainted, and then I started writing for them. And then they had a problem with their singer. And they said, well, do you want to be the singer? You know, we have a problem with the guy that's the lead singer. I'm like, okay, cool. And so then we put out Still Very Hard to Go, and bam, he's number one. I think we recorded in each. In December, by the end of January, it was number one. It was just a just a trip, you know. Yeah, just a band, you know, real music business, I would say. Yeah,
exactly. So then you began to carve out a career for yourself as a solo performer. I believe that you probably took a lot of those lessons and things from the group. You know that you carried that forward with you. Am I right? No, you go ahead. Tell me. Okay.
Yeah, I was just going to say. Yeah, like Top Power, I mean, Top Power was a big group. You know, there was 12 members in the band, and, you know, we had two managers and, you know, the roadies and everything. So I learned a lot of things that you should do to make a band work and, you know, run efficiently. And then I learned, you know, a lot of things that you shouldn't do. You know, Top Power had a lot of drugs. There's a lot of drugs in the band, you know. And a lot of drugs, alcohol, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, really, you know.
Right.
And so, so I've learned, you know, that those things can actually destroy your band's career, things like that. You know, so there were a lot of lessons to be learned, but, you know, most of them were positive lessons. And so, you know, I was with the band for two, we did three albums, and then I left and started, you know, returned to my solo career.
Absolutely. Now, listen, I also like the fact that you worked with folks like Betty Wright and The Roots, of course. I just, there is the song that you guys did, I believe it's, I think it's called Baby Come Back. It's just such a great song. What is it like when you get to, and that's just amongst many, of course, but what is it like when you get an opportunity to work with these other legendary artists?
Well, you know, just like I was just sitting around and the phone rang, and it was like, I answered, "Hey, baby, Betty Wright on the phone." I'm like, "Oh, okay, what's up?" You know, and she's like, "Hey, I'm doing this song. I want you to do it." And I said, "Okay." And she said, "I'm going to send it to you," and "You tell me what you think." So she sent it to me, and I listened to it, and on the computer. And then she said, "Well, I said, I like it." She said, "Well, this is what I want you to do," and so she told me what to do. And so I went to the studio and I did it, then I sent it back to her, and then she said, "Well, I want to do a little bit more of this, a little bit more of that," and I said, "Okay," send it back. She said, "Well, okay, man, yeah, don't do too much over there, you know, Betty, you know, she knows her music, right?" And
yeah.
So then
yeah.
Finally she's like, "Oh, I'm loving it, so I wanted to hear her laughing, and she seemed like she loved it, and so that's just how it came by, and I was just like so excited and so honored, you know, to do the song with Betty, because she's a class act and a legend, herself, and most definitely.
Absolutely. Well, it is a fabulous song, let me say that. So definitely for you guys out there. Now let's talk about your music, the current music, and also some of the projects, of course, that you had along the way. What are some of the things that you're working on these days?
Yeah, well, I just did an album called Still in the Game, and, you know, did that, I think, in 2012. And, you know, we're still working, you know, and promoting that. And then I've been doing some plays. And then also I, spent a lot of time down south and in Chicago. And, you know, people love the blues, so I've kind of incorporated some blues into my show. And so people would always say, "Well, what's on my CD? Is that blues on there?" And I'm like, "No." And so I was like, "You know, I'm going to have to cut me a couple blues songs, you know, and put on the CD."
Mm-hmm.
So I went in here recently and did that. And then so somebody heard it, and they were having the blues tour, the Blues Is All Right tour. And they said, "Well, you want to be on that?" And I'm like, "Yeah." So now I'm on the blues tour. You know, I'll be doing that all of March and some of April. And, well, actually starting in February, February 27th, down in New Orleans, and then all of March. And so just excited about that. And, it's just tremendous to be able to go back and do things like gospel and the blues because they, they're the roots of our music here in the United States, you know, in America.
Absolutely. Yes. Folks, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and we have a music legend with us today. His name is Lenny Williams. Lenny, I just want to welcome you again to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Most definitely my pleasure.
Now, I have to say, and we kind of just moved a little bit past that, but I do want to talk about Still in the Game. You have a lot of great songs on there that I really, me personally love, and I'm sure everybody out there feels the same way. What was it like in doing a lot of those songs for that particular CD? And I remember you did one that I love, and I have to think of it now that I'm on the spot. But what was it like for you doing all of those? Well, I like that one, too. That's one of my favorites, too. I like Still. I like it was the one
that got away.
Well, that I like, too. And we have all these songs going on. But there was one other one that you did in my mind. And you tell me
in
which CD
mind.
That was on. Yes. That was
right,
on that
yes,
CD.
My
oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
let me tell you something.
Right here.
Oh, that was
yeah,
on the other
yeah.
CD. Okay. Sir, you are a singing man. And we love it. We love it. You know, they're just there's just something about these songs that you do that are just fantastic. Obviously, so Still in the Game. I'm sorry, Still in the Game is still out there, and folks can pick it up and hear some of these other songs that you have.
Yeah,
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, now, and you were just saying about the blues, so now you're kind of moving into that territory. What is it like to kind of make that transition, and how do you feel about it?
You know, it's like, it's not like it's, when I do my shows, all I do is blues, you know, but, you know, because I'm, you know, I still have to be true to who I am and where I've been.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go on stage, I try to, you know, sing all of the, you know, the songs from the various eras that I've been, you know, been singing. So I'm, you know, the Child Power stuff, the stuff that I did after I left Child Power, the songs I did with Kenny G on the Duotones album, and then now, you know, incorporating a couple of blues songs into my repertoire, and then basically, you know, so that way, whoever is in the audience, they get a little bit of the Lenny Williams that they came to see. And, you know, so it's just been tremendous, you know, and great reception. People seem to love it. And, you know, keep on marching on.
I hear you, sir. Now, tell us about the music of today. How do you feel about some of these younger performers, some of these new artists who are out? I know quite a few of them have already sampled your music, so we kind of have an idea how they feel about you. But how do you feel about them and the music that they're doing these days?
Well, there's some good artists out there, you know. I mean, like Neo and you know, different people like that, Beyonce,
mm-hmm.
You know. So definitely, like, you know, like them, and you know, then, you know, rap. I like rap music too, you know. I mean, sometimes I think some rap artists are lyrically challenged. I mean, I would say that the way they do their lyrics, even the stuff that I don't like, are. It's great. I mean, I listen to the way they compose their lyrics and things like that, and it's like it's sensational, and I see why it sells. But I think that you know, some of them, you know, limit themselves because, you know, with the, you know, a lot of the profanity and things like that, and it's like, well, what if you get a call from Disney and they want you to do a song for 9-year-olds? If all you can do is, you know, swear, you know, and use profanity, then you're going to miss out on that $1 million contract. You
mm-hmm.
know, so, you know, I think that people need to broaden, you know, their scope a little bit, but not that, you know, it's their day, you know, and so, I mean, who am I to get in the way and, you know, overly critique what they do? You know, I listen to what I like, you know, what I like and what I don't like, I change, turn the channel. You know, I'm sure that, you know, people wouldn't, my music comes on, if they like it, they listen to it. If they don't like it, they turn the channels, which, you know, we're all entitled to do. But for the most part, I like, you know, what's going on. I can turn the radio on and listen to it, come to the club, and, you know, I'm like, hey, I'm tapping my feet. I feel like getting out on the middle of the floor and doing my thing, you know. So more power to them, most definitely.
God. Well, they can certainly take a page from your playbook with the longevity of your career. Just amazing. Okay, well, Lenny,
yeah, I've been around for a while. That's most definitely, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Now, I want to talk a little bit more about the current projects and how folks can find you and or your music. Tell us.
Yeah, I'm on, you can go to LennyWilliams.com, and you can also I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, on Instagram, so, you know, you can go to iTunes, Amazon, you know, all of the online, you know, stores and find my music, and like, you know, like we're in business, we're in the music business, you know, and that we're out there doing shows, or we're doing videos, and you know, we're making it happen. You know, I'm doing interviews, I'm on a hair show, and, you know, just making it, making it happen, you know, and then being, you know, visible and everything like that, you know, and viable, you know. So I mean, that's what, you know, the music business has changed a lot, and especially for older artists, you know, artists that have been around for a while, you know, myself included. I see people, you know, who are icons, like Aretha Franklin putting out records, and people don't even know that they're out, around Isley, you know. So it's definitely a time to be diligent and you know, just rediscover and redefine yourself and your methods of getting your music out, you know, so the internet and social media,
exactly,
making your own records and things like that, you know, is the theme of the day.
That's, I couldn't agree more. It seems like that is, unfortunately, you know, it's not quite the way it was before, but at the same time, there are a lot of great possibilities that lie ahead.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I mean, you know, you just got to, and I think what it is getting people back to the point where they're, you know, what you're doing for self, and you're not reliant upon, you know, a record company coming and signing you, or, you know, so when the going gets tough, it's tough to get going. And so, you know, you figure out another way to do it. You know, when I was growing up, if my dad, if something went wrong around the house and we didn't have the money to call, you know, the man with the big truck to come do it, you know, he did. You know, he figured out, he sit up there and look at it from the left side and the right side and the other side and the other side, and he said, okay, I'm ready. And take it apart and fix it and
exactly.
Put it back together.
And made it work, exactly.
Yeah, make,
wow.
Make it work, most definitely. So that's what we're doing. You know, we're making it work, and it's exciting. You know, I mean, it's exciting, and it keeps you going, keeps that blood flowing. You're getting up, you know, every day, and you know, it's a new challenge, and then, you know, when you succeed, you know, you pat yourself on the back, and you see the rewards of what you've done.
Absolutely. Well, Lenny, I have to say, I want to thank you so much. Did you have any last comments that you'd like to share with us today? Any words of inspiration?
Yeah, I just like to say that I want to thank all your listeners, you know, for supporting me over the years, you know, buying the CDs, buying the records, coming out to the shows, and, you know, calling radio stations and asking, you know, requesting the records. I want people to know that I don't take that for granted, you know, that I am humbled by it, and you know, hopefully I can, you know, live up to the, you know, the standard, and you know, always be professional and get people what they want.
Lenny, you have far exceeded that.
This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hunt.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Terry Hines.
Time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. I'm Gary Hines, and today's topic is on the subject of hair loss. And we'd like to welcome to Hair Radio Dr. Linda Amerson. Doctor, welcome to Hair Radio.
Thank you so much, Mr. Hines, for having me today.
Well, we're glad that you're here. Now, along with myself, you also, we have a special treat, Darlene Alexander, who is the Vice President of Heavenly Essence, Inc. Now, they're the creators of Purity Hair Care Products, is on the line as well, and she'll be co-hosting with us. So a special treat for us and the listeners of Hair Radio. Darlene, welcome to Hair Radio.
Oh, thank you, Gary, for having me here today. I really appreciate it.
Well, listen, we want to jump on in to this very, very big subject. And I guess the first thing that we probably want to do is to tell everyone that hair loss is so vast, and there's so many different parts to it. But if we must break it down and start at the beginning, and Darlene, you can certainly jump on in, but I'm thinking that, Dr. Amerson, maybe it would be a good idea for you to tell everyone about or what exactly is alopecia and the general topic of hair loss.
Okay, absolutely. Alopecia is the medical term for hair loss, and it is a very broad umbrella for several different categories of alopecia, and many consumers do not realize that. And sometimes that is not always conveyed in a very layman's term to them that just because one person has one category, the other person may have something totally different or a combination of different types of alopecia. So what I do in my practice, I am a doctor of trichology, which means I have furthered my education, and my level is directly below dermatology and right above cosmetology and barber styling. So I actually get to the root of the problem by incorporating microscopes to give an accurate diagnosis. I look at internal factors as well as external factors, which is very, very important to have regrowth possible at all.
Absolutely. Now, would you tell us a little bit on what some of those internal factors might be?
Some of the internal factors may include nutrition. Now, nutrition is a very, very important factor. Other factors could be mechanical, such as the type of heat appliances that a person uses, whether it's the flat iron or the curling iron or the waving iron, et cetera. These are also contributors to some of the scalp damage and hair damage that I see on a daily basis.
Now, how much of this, just to kind of go back a little bit, Dr. Amerson, how much of this would you say is a real problem, like say for the general public? Do you have any idea how many people are actually suffering with hair loss just overall, just an idea?
Yes, absolutely. The latest statistics is over 80 million Americans are affected with some form of alopecia.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow, that is amazing.
Now, Dr. Amerson, when you said that you stated about the types of alopecia, now, can a person also have two types of alopecia?
Oh, absolutely. There can be multiple types of alopecia and scalp disorders that occur simultaneously.
Okay.
For example, I've seen cases where they may have alopecia areata, they may have seborrheic dermatitis, they may have telogen effluvium, they may have inflammation of the scalp, erythema, pruritus, as well as hair breakage. So that is definitely a possibility.
Wow. Now, what are some of the treatments for these types of alopecia?
That depends on, I take it on a case-by-case basis.
Okay.
I look at the most, if it's in just a scalp condition, for example, if a person comes in and they complain about their scalp is just itching profusely, and I see bacterial infections on the scalp, I see hair breakage, hair thinning, inflammation, and pruritus, well, the most severe condition needs to be assessed first, which is the bacterial infection.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that I will address first. Once that is cleared, the scalp is much healthier.
Right.
And then we can concentrate on the hair regrowth process. I find that so many consumers, they want to just focus on the hair regrowth.
Yes.
And they do not think the importance of the scalp is as vital as it should be. So that is something that I constantly have to educate my patients and other consumers, that a healthy scalp is the utmost vital to a healthy hair.
Wow. That is just very interesting, very interesting. Wow.
Well, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, today the topic discussion is on hair loss, and I am co-hosting today's program with Darlene Alexander. Now, she is the Vice President of Heavenly Essence, Inc., and they are the creators of Purity Hair Care Products. And you can, of course, reach them at heavenlyessence.net, and we'll be talking with Darlene a little bit more about that in just a little bit. Now, along with Darlene, I'm so very proud to have with us today a very special person. She is an expert in this arena. Her name is Dr. Linda Emerson. And, Doctor, we again welcome you to Hair Radio.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
It's our pleasure to have you. Now, we so much appreciate a lot of the light that you're shedding on this, and we know it's a ginormous and vast topic, and there are so many different layers to this. What are some of the resources that you might suggest for someone who thinks that they are, you know, dealing with hair loss? Where might you direct them to find it?
I definitely suggest for them to seek an expert, such as a board-certified trichologist, to actually get to the root of the problem. Because I find that so many consumers, they want to first ask their family members, they want to ask their friends, and then they go online and YouTube. So they look on YouTube, and there's a lot of misinformation that's on YouTube. And that's another thing that I educate my patients and clients on. Don't believe everything that you see on YouTube. There are so many concoctions that are on there, and then there are also a lot of non-professionals who are telling their journey of how they are transitioning from, you know, the relaxer to the natural hair, and they consider themselves experts, and they are not. What I find is I see, you know, quite a different, I would say, different ethnicities that come into my clinic. In the natural hair community, I get a lot of questions about their hair. Once I show them under my microscope that their scalp is unhealthy and that there are other conditions present there, they are just so amazed because they have been focusing so much on their hair, and their scalp has lacked the vital cleansing and proper care that will help with healthier hair growth and the hair just looking healthier overall. And
well, my big question to you, I was thinking all of this time, I'm thinking, is there anyone who would be able to avoid hair loss? It seems like hair loss affects almost everybody on some level or shape or form or fashion. So I was thinking, what could be done? Is there anything we can do to avoid hair loss? And then I just heard you mention about healthy hair and scalp, so I'm thinking that that's probably something that jumps out at me. But I'll ask you, Dr. Emerson, what are some of the things, if there's anything that we can do to, you know, kind of avoid having hair loss to begin with?
That is a question that it really depends on a case-by-case basis because not everyone falls into the same category, and then there are also medical conditions that must be analyzed. There are several, another example, there are so many consumers that take prescription medications.
Yes.
Over 300 medications have a side effect of alopecia and hair thinning, and some of them even scalp conditions. So those must be factors. There must be factors as far as hairstyles. You know, we know that the lace front wigs are very, very prevalent. When a person starts to thin, they want to go to the hair coverings, the hair enhancements, instead of getting to the root of the problem, to seeing what's really causing or contributing to this. Is it nutritional? Is it medications? Is it the chosen hairstyle that they've been wearing for 10, 20 years and they haven't changed that look? So it really depends on a case-by-case basis. It's the best way I can answer that.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, Dr. Emerson, what about, you spoke about nutrition.
Yes.
What type do you recommend for people that who needs to improve their diet in order to have that healthy hair and healthy scalp?
Well, definitely avoiding as much fast foods and fried foods is one recommendation. eating more fruits and vegetables. That will help. You're nourishing the body. So when you're nourishing the body, this also helps to feed the papilla, and this in turn can feed and nourish the hair and the scalp. So looking internally is one of the main factors. Also, enough protein in your diet.
Right.
Protein is very, very important. So those are just some of the recommendations that I would say.
Now, also, Dr. Emerson, excuse me. Now, let's say the person is getting the right types of foods and fruits and vegetables and the adequate amount of protein, but they're still losing their hair. The one thing I just wanted to find out if this is a myth or if it is fact. When there's an organ in our body that is lacking certain nutrition, aren't those vitamins and nutrients going to go to that organ before it goes to the hair follicle?
Absolutely. The body is going to absorb and distribute the nutrition internally first. And if something is lacking, yes, it's going to give that particular organ or area inside the body more of the nutrients that it needs. So whatever is left over will be transported through the bloodstream to nourish the hair and scalp. And in many cases, it is not enough nutrition that's being absorbed into the system. And this is something that I can see microscopically under my polarized microscope.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Absolutely amazing. Well, Dr. Emerson, just wanted to talk a little bit specifically on if you could explain briefly maybe about the areata, the alopecia areata, if you will. We have a couple of guests who will be joining us in just a little bit, and we wanted to talk a little bit more about that as well.
Yes, alopecia areata is most commonly known as an autoimmune type of alopecia condition. The onset has many different triggers. Sometimes I have seen family members who have had this particular condition, and then it is predisposed. So there may be a generation that this particular condition may skip, and then the grandchildren may be affected. I've seen many cases of that. And then sometimes trauma to the scalp is a trigger. And excessive emotional stress can be another trigger. So that particular condition affects over 10% of the American population. So this is something I see very, very common in men, women, as well as children.
Now, what about the diffuse alopecia?
The diffuse alopecia occurs when the hair begins to shed excessively, and there are usually long strands that will be combed out or either fall out of the hair. When a person may run their fingers through their hair and they notice an excessive amount of hair in their hand, this is known as diffuse alopecia. That is usually from an internal cause.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, again, we'd have to go back maybe 3 months to see what may have occurred during that time frame, because usually the cycle, when it affects the hair, it takes approximately 3 to 4 months for us to really see an indication that there was some type of change or systemic problem or something that may have occurred within their system, and then we see it at a later time. Within the hair strand.
Okay.
Wow. Well, again, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. I'm Carrie Hines, and I'm co-hosting today with the great Darlene Alexander. And we both have on the line with us Dr. Linda Emerson, who has been providing some great foundation of knowledge for us in terms of hair loss. and some of the myths that are out there and kind of dispelling those. Dr. Amerson, first of all, again, we want to thank you so very much for being with us today on the Hair Radio Show. And is there anything that, you know, in the way of maybe kind of closing out that we would be able to, you know, maybe inspire or to, you know, is there anything that's new on the way that we can say, hold on to those folks out there who are dealing with, you know, so very much on the subject of hair loss and dealing with this?
Well, you know, research is constantly ongoing. The last research that I was informed about that is taking place is with a product, the Lactice product. It was very popular for helping to grow the eyelashes several years ago. Well, then there is some testing that has been ongoing to see if it will also assist with the scalp hair regrowth. So that's something that's on the way. And at this time, that's the only product that I am aware of that's considered new in the market.
Well, we're going to tell everyone to keep it right here and tuned into Hair Radio, and we will certainly let everyone know of any breakthroughs on the subject. And Dr. Amerson, how would folks find you if they're interested in looking and following up with you?
Absolutely. I can be contacted. My clinic is LA's Hair and Scalp Clinic. I am at 2304 West Pioneer Parkway, suite number 6 in Arlington, Texas. My phone number is 817-265-8854. That's 817-265-8854. My website is hairandscalpessentials.com. That's hairandscalpessentials.com. My email is dramerson@hairandscalpessentials.com. You can find me on Twitter. My handle is @scalpdoctor. Also, I'm on Facebook, Dr. Amerson's Therapeutic Essentials, LLC. All of those medias, I may be contacted.
And you can always come to Hair Radio and ask us how to find Dr. Amerson as well, and we will certainly connect them as well. Dr. Amerson, I want to thank you so very much for being with us today and just beginning. And I'm hoping that you'll come back as we move a little further along with this subject and come back to the Hair Radio Show and share some more of your wonderful insight.
Absolutely. It will be my pleasure to return. And again, thank you so much for this opportunity, Mr. Hines and Ms. Darlene Alexander. Thank you also.
Well, Madam C.J. Walker, most everyone has heard of her. And because when I'm in a crowd, let's say 1,000 people, and I ask, how many hear of Madam C.J. Walker? And hands go up everywhere. She's an incredible person. She fought against lynching. She gave money for fighting against lynching. She went to Washington, D.C. to help create legislation against lynching. She was a woman of great character who helped to develop entrepreneurs, women entrepreneurs. And yet, the question I generally have in a situation like that is, okay, what well did she draw her water from? Who,
right.
What shoulders did she stand on to become who she was? And so I bumped into Annie Malone. And hardly in that same crowd of 1,000 people, you might have 99% of the folks raising their hand about Annie Malone,
no.
About Madam C.J. Walker, but then you might
right,
have three or
no
four
one.
People
right, exactly.
Saying they know who Annie Malone is.
Correct.
So I figured I'm going to make it part of my life mission is to help help people know about who Annie Malone is.
Yes.
Because she was...
Yes, go ahead. Go right ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. She was...
Oh, no. She was an incredible person. She was actually, she trained up over 75,000 women entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
She trained Madam C.J. Walker in 1905, and Madam C.J. Walker became a Poro agent, because that was the name of her college, Poro College. She built this beautiful building in St. Louis, Missouri, four stories high. It looks. I have an original book that people can get off Amazon if they go to parocollege.com. And Poro College, it's just very simple. The first word is four letters. Poro, P as in Paul, O is an ocean. R is in Ralph. O is an ocean. Poro, like P-O-R-O, college.com. And they'll see this building. And then they also see a booklet that she published back in 1926. And a part of my Black History collection, yeah, I have an original one of those 1926 booklets. There's very few of them around. And when you open up the booklet, the first thing you start looking at is how incredible this building is. It's like it's straight. If I just showed you a picture of some of the rooms, you would swear it's out of Wall Street, New York. And this particular building was a building where she trained up, as I mentioned, over 75,000 women entrepreneurs who she gave cash awards to for saving accounts or home purchases. She gave a diamond ring to them after 5 years of service. Her philanthropy toward them and toward others was legendary. This building is just an incredible place that she created for this. She owned a whole city block in Chicago. She paid, imagine this, 1926 alone, she paid over $40,000 in taxes. Just think about that.
Amazing.
One of the first people in the entire state of Missouri to own a Rolls Royce. And,
who was actually the very first self-made female African-American millionaire? Annie Malone, or was it, I mean, not that it, you know, is something we should, you know, compare on any level, but I'm just curious because I've always grown up thinking it was Madam C.J. Walker with all of her, you know, things and accomplishments.
Yeah, from all the research I've done, if I were a betting man, and I'm not a gambling man, but if I were, I'd bet the farm that Annie Malone was the first millionaires of African descent, female millionaires in the country.
And that's what I'm getting.
Timing.
Why? How on this earth? I try to figure this out as well. How did? And I love Madam. I love both, and all the things that they
no
stand for.
They're both are wonderful. Yes.
Absolutely.
And that's not even part of the discussion here.
Right. Exactly. But how on this earth did Madam C.J. Walker take all the things that she learned, which I'm sure was a wonderful tribute to Annie Malone, and seems that only America, it seems like we only remember or know of the accomplishments of the student as opposed to the teacher.
I think a lot of it had to do with Annie Malone. What happened is that she ended up getting married in, I think it was 1924-ish, right around there. And what happened is that after she got married, her husband, he was not a very good man. And he caused such incredible problems for her that I just shake my head. And felt that he was due so much more than and they ended up getting divorced, let me put it that way.
Wow.
And from that point on, what happened is her business became, she was a very, if you look at her building and everything that she did, it was incredible, impeccable, you know, clean, it was orderly, it was you could see the record system she had. My point being is that this was an incredible person. But once, after the wedding, then what happened is that he began to sabotage everything. And she never recovered. Then the IRS got involved, and she never recovered from that at all. And here's a college that employed in 1926 175 people with franchise outlets in North America, South America, Africa, the Philippines. A wealthy, wealthy woman. And then at the end of her life, she pretty much dies destitute. And all that's left right now is the orphanage, the Annie Malone orphanage, that was a facility on Good Avenue. I don't know if you remember the song Johnny Be Good by Chuck Berry.
Yes,
he
of course.
He grew up on Good Avenue, right around the corner. And that's...
Well, y'all know what time it is. Look at here. It's the Hair Morning Radio Hair Show with Terry Hines. It's your boy, Smooth Black. I just want to say, thank God for this company, y'all. Y'all better be blessed. The Hair Radio Nation going to the next level, y'all. Get it, 2021. God bless.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show, and it is Wednesday morning, September 29th of 2021, about 8:30 Eastern Time, 7:30 Central. It is time to bring to the line the one and only, you guys heard him just now, Smooth Black, a.k.a. Troy Ballard, all the way out from Southern California, which is exactly where I wish I were today, since it's so chilly here in New York. But welcoming back Troy Ballard. Good morning. Good morning. And it's early out there.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes. How are you today?
Oh, man, I'm awesome, Carrie. You know, just hearing that, I'm like, man, my voice was raspy that day.
I love it. Well, we spoke of you earlier today, which I'm like, let's get on some a big announcement. We had a few other of our legacy sponsors, along with Smooth Black Ink, and so we had a chance to talk about them, and so we mentioned you as well. So that was early in the show. Yeah, of course. That goes without saying. So listen, let us just kind of jump on in today. Like I said, it is fall and cool out here, and we're going to talk about that. But first, you always, always give us some inspirational words of encouragement at the top of each broadcast. So Smooth Black, a.k.a. Troy Ballard, can you please take it away?
Well, good morning, everyone. You know, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. It is an honor and a privilege just to share, you know, the good news of the gospel every day. But I thank and praise God that, you know, by His Holy Spirit we live and we have our health and our strength and our being. And I try to remind everybody every day to take, you know, take time to spend some time with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And, you know, it's just like having a conversation. We're talking. I talk to Him every day, and I tell Him about everything, and I ask Him to solve all my problems and, you know, ask for just love, peace, prosperity. And, you know, more than anything is, you know, like He told King Solomon. He asked King Solomon, he said, what would you want me to do for you? And all the king wanted was to go in and out of his people, just learning how to get along with people. So when you learn to get along with people, life is much better, you know. And I always found if I see someone walking around and they have a frown, I'm going to give them a smile that's going to last them a mile. And I just praise God that every day we have an opportunity to share. And one thing I always say is, if you don't have your smile, give it to someone else.
Wow. You see, this is why we need you every week on the show, Smooth Black, a.k.a. Troy Ballard. Very nice words. Listen, I'm going to turn to the fall here. As I said, the East Coast, boy, oh, boy, I thought we had another month to go before this weather kind of ushered on in, but it's chilly here out of New York. Yeah. Guys, you know I broadcast live from New York City. So first of all, what's the weather like in Southern California? We just need to kind of be a little bit jealous. Is it warm out there still?
No, I mean, you know, actually for us it's beautiful, you know, because it's dropped down into the, you know, 82, 80s, you know.
Oh, okay. You know what? We're done with this conversation. Oh, my goodness. Well, wow.
It is a change, Carrie, from, you know, going from 107 to, you know, 80 degrees. You know, that's a big dramatic change. And, you know, in the weather and the climate and the flu season and with this COVID, you know, it's, you know, take the time to make sure you take your vitamin C and get you some rest and, you know, take care of yourself and protect yourself. You know, if you're in a place where COVID is, wear your mask. You know, do what we got to do to, you know, to continue to exist.
Well, that's the thing we were sharing. I just shared that yesterday about the salons and the barbershops coming out or even maintaining during this period. And every time, you know, every so often we check in with you on this subject and topic. So how are you guys doing at your shop out there where you are every day and your clients? Is this even, is it something that clients bring up anymore? Like, you know, is it just not talked about? What happens at your shop? I've always wanted to ask you that.
Well, in my salon, you know, we're COVID friendly. You know, we since the mandates have been brought down, we took down our partitions. But, you know, with cosmetological entrepreneurs,
that's in California, guys.
It.
The state of California, let me just make that clear. That's out in Cali, okay? Yeah, I got to remind everybody of that.
So, like I said, everybody, you know, is COVID-friendly, and, you know, we have a mandate, you know, because most people now have been vaccinated, but as for the salon, most of us have been vaccinated. And we had them come up with a policy the other day. Either we wear the mask as a whole, as a salon team, because I'm in a salon with 10 stylists, and it's getting really busy because we're blessed right now. We're in a good season with everything opening up. People are coming back and, you know, and stylists are, you know, getting back.
I'm coming out to California. I really am because it is, I mean, it's not quite as exciting over here in Brooklyn, but it sounds really hopping and popping out there. Wow.
You know. Life is a journey. It's what you make it, you know. And right now, we're in it to win it, you know. And we, like you said, we screen people when they come in. If they don't have a mask, we provide one for them, for the clients. Because someone has to protect themselves, and we want to protect our clients first and foremost. But if they say they've been vaccinated and they don't want to wear their mask, okay, I'm not the police of that. I just know I protect myself.
Yes. Now, hold it. But what did you guys decide? I think you said a moment ago that, you know, as a group, the stylists,
group,
you know, we're going to decide one way or the other.
We're a team of stylists. Everybody's been pretty much vaccinated. And, you know, it's very uncomfortable working with that mask on. But, yeah, we got some of us have face shields and others just, you know, but for the salon staff, we're trying to stay 100% cohesive. If anyone has an underlining problem or feel like they're, you know, and they need to do what they have to do, wear your mask, cover up. But by most part, it's sanitation, Lysol on the station, hand sanitizer, cleaning up your station after each client. Make sure that when they come into a clean space, you know, just basic sanitation.
I love
that
it.
We've always done as stylists, you know, cleanliness.
Absolutely.
Is close to godliness, but yet still sanitation is a must, you know.
Absolutely. And I have my Barbicide certification hanging right above my head right now. Shout out to Nurse Leslie, who was the education director. She was on our broadcast. I think we'll get that on for you again soon. So we have the big time folks like we do today with Smooth Black. I want to turn to, like we said, it's fall, and we have to have this talk every season, particularly for the East Coast and those you travel outside of California and all that. And you guys have a little bit of change out there as well. But what do you say to folks who are always thinking, you know, for me, I always think fall color. That's what I think. So what can you share with us about color? And then, and I got a question for you about color also, but go ahead. What do you say about, you know, color and the fall for those of us out here?
Well, to me, color is always in season. It depends on the stylist and their creativity and the type of clientele that you attract. Coloring is a way to establish another income to go along with that service for the day. So with my clients, I always say when I see the hair is dry, brittle, it needs some, I tell them you need a color enhancement. You know, I try to market it and sell it, you know. And as the seasons change, you know, we go into warm tones or cool tones or, you know, me, I like colors that pop, that are radiant, you know. So I do a lot of pre-lightening first. I come in with, you know, depending on the texture and of my client's hair and the healthiness of it and the desired color they want to go to, especially when you get into high lifts, when you're going to level 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and you're dealing with natural hair and you're dealing with hair that's been chemically processed, there is a timing process of when and why and how to do a correct color. You know, a lot of times in the,
a correct color.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, because I had a young lady came in the other day, and her and her friend decided they wanted to be kitchen beauticians, I call them. But, you know, be the teenagers.
Kitchen beauticians. Yeah.
And the young lady came in, and, you know, they went in with a high lift. So she had, you know, the yellow tone in there, a lot of brassy tones in there, just from not being a colorist for someone that's a novice just going on buying a box coloring, coming home and trying to apply it. You got to know where you're starting at, what level your hair at. You see it on the box, it may look like it's a honey blonde, but not knowing that the lady started off at a level one, which is a black, and trying to get to the highlight, you know, a lot of that can damage the hair during the process. So it's important
Absolutely.
To go to a color specialist when you want to do color and you want it right. And I try to encourage anyone that, you know, in seeking a colorist, find someone that's reputable, study their work. When it comes to your hair, your integrity, keeping your hair on your head, it's good to go someone who knows about color and knows about developers and know the timing that it's going to take to get the acquired lift. And then not only lifting, coming in and depositing color, in which is an extra charge because I'm going to highlight you, then I'm going to come back and I'm going to put another color on top of the highlights to really make it pop, you know. So if you want them really radiant, luminous colors in the reds and the blues. And right now, this even
and that's
into,
in style right
you know,
now. Yeah.
Yes, I mean, but you know, the getting the blue blacks, the real vibrant color that comes from, you know, the hues that you know, we as stylists, man, I always tell stylists if you want to increase your revenue, do something new on yourself. Or, you know, practice a doll head mannequin, you know, create a style on it, post that style up, and people come in and say, oh, I like that, or I want that color, or I want her color. And then sometimes I got to explain to them that it's a process it goes to get to that level that you want because I'm about integrity and keeping the hair on the hair. When I first started, it was all about the money, Carrie. I was like, you want in, you want a relaxer cut, you want highlights, I'm going to try to give it all to you in one day. And then one day I found out that I crossed the aniline derivative, which is the color, and with that sodium hydroxide relaxer, and those two cross, and I found out that you will acquire hair loss and breakage. So, you know, at first I got discouraged, and I didn't want to do color no more, okay? And I felt like, you know, that's going to damage my reputation. The lady's going to go out and talk about me, and I can't do no color. But then with the
I'm dying to know, what did she say when she left out or when well, first of all, did she experience the hair loss from it?
Yes, she did.
Okay,
that's when I made, I didn't make a mistake. I made a discovery that day. And I discovered that I need to take a little bit more time and take more color classes and, you know, continue my education, but don't give up. You know, and now I'm a true colorist. I can take you to whatever stage you want.
Oh, you're the king of color. No, let me just tell everybody, because you may not say it, but no, Smooth Black is known. I know we know that you do all types of hair. We know that you can handle it all. But I have to be honest, we see those beautiful shortcuts. We see the coloring. We see the different colors, and I was going to ask you about that, too, because I really wanted to ask you about the color red, which I see a lot and quite often in a lot of the things that you do as well. But just let me say, no, you're a master colorist and a master cutter. Things that a lot, and those of us in the African-American community, we know that we may not be known for that. Let's just be real and 100%.
Yeah.
Across the board, but you've really changed that. You've been changing that notion. You've been putting yourself, and I can understand to some degree why folks might be reluctant to take on coloring. Because the way you just described, you know, you kind of need to know what you're doing, and that might be a tall order. So we congratulate you because you've done more than just accomplish it, you know, and obviously we see the way folks react to you. So good stuff. But I was going to ask you about the red color, you know, because I was reading something the other day where it said that the people in our community do not gravitate towards red. They're scared to use red, or they won't use red, or but it doesn't seem like you have that at all as an issue. So what can you tell us? Is this something you've heard of?
Well, you know, reds are beautiful, you know. I call it the blood of Jesus, you know, but, you know, you got so many different hues of red, and from matador red to an intense red to it's just, you know, got company called Redken, you know, but it's all about knowing how to achieve that desired color. And you got to understand that reds bleed. So at night, I always tell my customers, you know, when the white sheets on the bed, you might want to, you know, because the reds do bleed. But to achieve a good red, man, it's just, you know, it all starts at what your customer, what level they're at, you know. If you're already like a sandy brown or you know, anywhere in the brown family, it's easy to go in and get a lift to a light blonde, and then you come back and you deposit that red on top. And, you know, it's just a timing chart, knowing how long it's going to take for the color to really adhere. And, you know, good rinse and condition, and that hair is going to be healthy, it's going to be vibrant, it's going to pop, and it's going to attract people. So I get a lot of, you know, word of mouth travels more than you think about all the advertisement that you do, because one client can change your clientele. And, you know, you get the right woman with the right personality and a good mouthpiece on her, and she's going to promote you. So, you know, I always encourage cosmetological entrepreneurs to do their best work. Each and every one of their clients that leave that chair represents them in some form or fashion. You know, either that salon name is going to be named great because there's an individual who's doing some great things in there, or it can take a bad turn and you got operators in there who don't know what they're doing, and you're going to get a bad word, and next thing you know, where's your increase at? You know, why your clients' tail's not growing? You got to take a look at what am I doing. But, Carrie, what I found out is everything is, you know, people like to follow trends. So when we look at our celebrities that are out there, the Beyoncés, the Halle Berrys, with the shortcuts, but the colors, even when you're going into them intense blondes, and man, it's some fabulous work out there. And we have some great cosmetologists out there that are doing some phenomenal work, and they're getting paid top dollar for their work. And I always add this, you know, we were having a discussion in a meeting in the salon the other day. And me, I'm like the top stylist in there. I got 30 years, you know, nonstop doing hair, nothing but hair.
Wow.
Don't care. I love it. But, you know, my prices are a little higher than, you know, most individuals in the salon. And I always say, well, what's the difference between you coming visiting me and coming visiting a stylist who's been doing 2 years? But yet still with the economy and the way it is, I said, some of these kids coming out and they want to charge what I charge, but the price doesn't reflect the work. Therefore, you may get that money one time and your client will never return. When you leave my chair, I'm looking for a relationship that you're going to be a part of my income that's going to make me a stylist who can generate enough income to live and have a good life, you know, and, you know, everything else is, you know, because I'm really concerned about the future cosmetologist, Carrie, because what I've learned, you know, in my 30 years still trying to, you know, understand the business, but getting the business aspect down, getting your business credit together, saving money, health insurance, life insurance, but most of all, that saving money and being able to create enough where you can retire putting your own 401k plan together. And, you know, it's a lot that, you know, that I've learned over the years, because as a cosmetologist, we get our money in a hand a lot. So now I've tried to transition everything to my business account, and I try not to take cash. I want everything to go to my business account, you know. So I'm swiping all day. Come in. I get it anyway. American Express, Visa, MasterCard, I'll take it, you know.
All right. Well, this is what I'm talking about, Smooth Black Ink, and that is what we're talking about, business. And it kind of leads to, you know, this is not a secret. You share this kind of information and your three decades in this industry with folks out via workshops and through education, you know, seminars and things like that. You've helped companies like Laurent, I remember. I'm sure there's some others that you have been an educator for. So what's one of the biggest things that you want to, right? Go right ahead. What's one of the biggest things you want to share?
Well, right now it's like, you know, I give kudos to a lot of people out there that I'm just one that observes. And, you know, to all the educators out there, I love you. Keep on pushing. You guys are awesome. You know, if you can, get out, seek knowledge, take advanced haircutting classes, invest in yourself. Take advanced coloring classes, invest in yourself. And once you invest in yourself and you put the time and you get the experience, you're going to get a return on your investment. Your clientele is going to grow. You're going to have more knowledge of your craft, and it's just wonderful to be a cosmetologist today, because, you know, we have the ability to touch people every day. And not only that, you know, I get to tell them about Jesus in my own formal way, and not to push it on anybody, but when you're in my chair, I'm trying to uplift, inspire, encourage, and, you know, just when you leave my chair, I want you to leave there living with not only a great style, but a great feeling on the inside, you know?
Oh, well, listen, I think these days, I think folks really kind of need that little encouragement. And that's why I try to, you know, every week I'm like, but, you know, share with us, because I think it's helpful. I really do. And I think that's, like I said, especially right now, we need it and it's appreciated. So, yeah, you take care of what's outside the head and kind of what's in our head. And so really nice. Yeah, you're doing a good job. Well, listen, I do have one other thing I want to say that I'm going to just bounce on out there, which I'm really happy to tell everybody about. And I'm just going to give a little tiny piece of the information at this time. But I want you guys out there to save the date. Now, this is a professional workshop that we're doing. Save the date. We're talking about in the month of February, February 6th, so since the month starts, it's Black History Month. I want you to think ahead. But this is a professional workshop that we're doing right here in New York City. And I'll be sharing all of this with all of the fans. Everybody's listening right now, as well as our followers on social media. We have a beautiful location here in New York City. It's gorgeous, a beautiful skyline. All of that, plus breakfast, lunch, dinner, all that stuff is being served, fruits, all that stuff. We've got great speakers. We've got a lot lined up. We'll be putting it out there in the next, like today, a little later on, and so forth and so on, and talking about it. And I'm just happy because this is coming up right around the corner, and we're going to make it real special, as you guys know we can. So it is exquisite. This is not some rinky-dink place. Let me just say that. I'm going to put the picture out a little later on. And believe me, you'll be shocked. It's really gorgeous. And so we're doing something very special for the industry. And it's my way to say thank you for supporting us. So it'll be red carpet. It will be just a whole bunch of education. It'll also be our doing some video and, you know, some recordings and so forth. So we have a lot to tell you about. So all that's coming up, you know, in the days to come. So we want you to kind of keep it right here. K.A. Troy Ballard. That's all I'm going to say. The 6th of February in New York City. We'll talk a little bit later on this morning about this, Mr. Troy Ballard. So that's all I want to kind of get on out there to you as well. So now, also, before we get there, though, what would you like to see? You know, the industry is kind of changing a little bit, as folks, as you mentioned, like what you just described in California, you have all of us wanting to run over to California. what you were describing, how California is coming, because it's like here, it's a little different here on the East Coast. Let me just put it that way. We're fighting, you know, we got the states fighting with everybody about the masks and all this kind of stuff. And it sounds like you guys have kind of figured some things out. So that's all I want to say. You know, amazing. So whatever you're doing, keep it up. Any, anything you want to, before we go into our amazing, wonderful words that you always leave us with each show and just remind us to, you know, take a moment and just be grateful for what we have and not always looking for what we want. But anything you want to go ahead and leave us with today, as you always do on each broadcast?
Well, you know, Carrie, as the Word of God says, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. But the more you give, the more you're going to receive. When I'm talking about giving, you're giving your time, your talent, all the effort, your generosity. And believe me, you'll get a return, because if you throw out love, love will come back. And we need more love in this world today. And, you know, I always tell my clients, I love you. I appreciate you. You make me. You know, without you, I'm nothing, you know, but a stylist looking for a client. But nowadays, there's clients looking for stylists, and you want to be in a position to be in demand. So I thank God every day for giving me, you know, my health, my strength, and the opportunity to get up to be a blessing to someone. Because cosmetological entrepreneurs, you know, we have the ability to reach people more than you know. And one person told me one day, thank you. Because of you, I was able to get this position. And I said, no, it wasn't because of me. I may have played a part in it by being your stylist or giving you something, but it's you. You're the one who got up. You took the initiative and the time and the effort to go out and seek. And as far as you're going out, you were able to get a return on it, because nothing from nothing leaves nothing. So as long as we get up and start doing something, something's going to happen. And I look for great things to happen every day to my people, to my clients. I pray before I go in the salon that today will be a great day, that what can I do to be a blessing to somebody. And a lot of times, you know, how can I give, Lord, you know, because sometimes a client may not be able to afford the whole service, but I'm going to give you a color today because I want you to look your best when you leave here. And by you looking your best, it's going to work for me, because people are going to come. And if you do great work, send them out with business cards and allow them to work. Let them be your mouthpiece for you. Mouthpiece. They're going to speak volumes because of your creativity. So I just encourage people, you know, and take time to get to know yourself, know your strengths, your weaknesses, and don't put too much on your plate that you can't chew. Remember, life is a journey. Take it one day at a time. But each day, wake up with the intention of, you know, doing great things. I expect great things, and God is a great God. So, Carrie, I thank you, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Troy Ballard.
Hallelujah.
We'll see you back here next week.
Yes.
8:30. Here's our outro. We got it. Take care, everybody.
Well, it's that time to bring this episode of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. But it does not end here. The show continues over at our 24/7 Hair Radio broadcast network at www.hairradio.com. Now, I must thank today's great guests and our legacy advertisers. These are the folks who've been supporting our show over the years, including Dr. Raglan, Yolanda Raglan at fixyourfeet.com. They are the very best in foot care. She has two locations, one in New York City and the other in Maryland. I also want to take a moment to acknowledge the amazing Troy Ballard, of course, from the West Coast out in Southern California. His company is called Smooth Black Ink. Now, he offers the very, very best in hair care for the entire family, He is a legendary hairstylist and educator. And also, he's a program host right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We just appreciate him again. That's Troy Ballard, a.k.a. Smooth Black of Smooth Black Ink. Also, we are talking about a complete line of products for the guys now. It's that Rugged Evolution. Now, Rugged Evolution Beard Care is the actual name of the company. Rugged Evolution Beard Care makes a complete line. I love their products. Go to www.ruggedevo.com for more details. Again, that's ruggedevo, that's EVO.com for complete details on their products. Also, StimulatingRoots.com. Now, Stimulating Roots is a hair product growth system for women, for everybody, really. And how they spell it, I love this, it's R-U-T-Z. Get amazing hair products that support healthy hair. And I say the secret is in their name, Stimulating Roots. That's really it. That's what actually grows the hair. Now, we're also taking a moment. Go to their site, StimulatingRoots.com. Again, it's spelled R-U-T-Z is how they spell Roots.com. Now, we're also thanking our entire advertising and promotions family for introducing our show fans to their great products and services. And you will find many of them right here in our website store at www.hairadio.com. That's hairradio.com, spelled with just one R. Now, it's also been our honor to welcome our amazing Hair Radio Morning Show fans from coast to coast in the United States and North America to continents all around the world. Our many friends and family, folks over in Ghana, South Africa, Nigeria, Egypt, and our folks across the diaspora of Africa, of course. Now, we're also thanking our big fan base in Europe, folks over in Italy, Spain, France, England, and really all over there, to folks back here, right here in America, folks who join me from all different time zones. I broadcast from right here in Brooklyn, New York. The show is live from 6 in the morning till 9 Eastern. Again, that's Monday through Friday. So we're on the East Coast, and we're reaching folks who tune in from the Central Time Zone, from out in the West Coast Time Zone, and we are just honored, and we thank you. From New York to L.A. and from, you know, from Boston to Miami, Florida. So we just love you guys. Whether you're in Texas, Chicago, wherever you are, you can tune into this broadcast. And again, we thank all of our amazing fans. And to the islands, we haven't forgotten about you folks. We thank you. We welcome you. We appreciate your participation in our broadcast. Now, it's been my honor to pay tribute to some of our amazing guests also who join me right here for live interviews, including the biggest story in the whole country was all about Tessica Brown and the Gorilla Glue. Well, we had the very doctor, the miracle doctor, Dr. Ovang, right here on our show all the way from Beverly Hills, California. He told us all about the incident. Also, I had a chance to chat with Beyonce's dad, Mr. Matthew Knowles. Madam C.J. Walker's great-great-granddaughter, Lilia Bundles, was on with us. Also, and that was before she was on the Netflix show. I also wanted to mention, or before she created that, the book sponsored her show on Self-Made on Netflix. You guys know what I'm talking about. And from the famous Bronner Brothers family, we had one of the Bronner brothers on. Bernard Bronner was my very special guest recently as well. Now, I had a chance to interview many, many folks from the world of music as well, of course, like Grammy winners Dionne Warwick, Gerald Austin from the Manhattans, to Broadway Tony Award-winning legends like the one and only music icon as well, Miss Melba Moore, to singers like Tennyson, Allison Williams, Tony Terry, Lenny Williams, to other hair industry superstars like Kim Berry. You guys know she was the hairstylist to super legendary singer Prince for about 29 years. So we take music seriously on our daily broadcast.
and we play some of your favorite songs, or mine, as well, right here on our show. And each show, we kind of use that to kind of encase each broadcast. Now, also remember to visit our website. We've got two. One is hairradio.com. That's spelled HAIradio.com with one R. So there you can shop. We have a big website store. But more importantly, we have our 24 hours, 7 days a week radio network there where you can click the play button and listen 24 hours a day all the time. We feature original hair and beauty content, new radio shows, music, classic broadcasts, so much more. Please visit hairradio.com for that. Then our second website is our event website. Now, we put all of our event information right there. It's called hairnationexpo.biz. So let me just say that again. It's www.hairnationexpo.biz. And again, that's our umbrella destination online website where we tell everything about our upcoming live hair event. So go there if you want the details on where we'll be next for our live and in-person hair and beauty event where you can come and meet us. Please do that. Now also, let me introduce you to my very own product, Kerapy. K-E-R-R-A-P-Y. Yes, we take the K-E-R-R from my name, Carrie, and the A-P-Y from therapy. And there we have it. It's Kerapy Shampoo and Kerapy Conditioner. Two great products from Carrie Hines Hair Care that are fortified especially for hair growth. Now find out how you can become a distributor and have them sold in your shop and or sell to others. Please let us know if you have an interest. Now, my book, by me, yes, Carrie Hines, is called How to Get Rich in the Hair Business. It's the best way you can get to thinking about adding money to your bottom line. It's available on Amazon.com, or you can contact us directly through social media or through our broadcast for an autographed copy. Again, it's How to Get Rich in the Hair Business by me, Carrie Hines. And I've got some secrets that are only available in that book. Now, we say stay connected to us on social media. You can do that. You'll find us on Twitter at HAI Radio. That's HAI Radio. Yes, Hair Radio. We pronounce it Hair Radio. It's spelled with one R. And on Facebook, you can find us if you search The Hair Radio Morning Show. Same thing on Google. During your Google search, you can just enter five words, The Hair Radio Morning Show, and out will pop up all of our broadcasts. So you're talking about 600 broadcasts. Also, under Carrie Hines, we have so many professional pages across Facebook. And on Instagram, we're Hines Carrie, H-I-N-E-S-K-E-R-R-Y. If you're looking for business cards to promote yourself, or flyer cards, or posters to hang on your walls at your hair salons or barbershops, or what have you, or any kind of digital graphic, we can handle that at Hair Radio Graphics. You're going to love what we design, create, and print, and ship to you. So please let us know if this is something that you're interested in. You can even use the digital designs to promote yourself across your social media, and ours for that much. Now, if you're interested in being a guest and joining me live on the Hair Radio Morning Show, or you would like to advertise your products, we have great special discounts, and we're so happy to welcome you. Call us directly at 862-277-0686. Again, it's 862-277-0686. Or go, of course, to HAIradio.com. Now, we have close to 700 live three-hour broadcasts in our archives, and we've become the most prolific hair and beauty talk radio show worldwide. We're number one, and we thank you for helping us to get there and listening to you on the next broadcast of the Hair Radio Morning Show. I just want to say thank you so much. I really do. It's been a great honor and a pleasure and a privilege. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thank you.